It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes. Yes. How's that sound, Mike? What? How's it sound? Great. Mike says it sounds great. That means the best show can go back on the air. My friends, tonight, the best show is back for another Tuesday night installment. 3 hours of mirth, music, and mayhem. We've got an exciting program planned for you tonight. Bowling alley confessions we will be doing throughout the show. What are the things you want to talk about? What are the things you want to say anonymously to people? You need to tell the world. We will go to a bowling alley, and you can tell all of us the things you are scared to own up to. We will do it throughout the show, Bowling Alley Confession. So get your Bowling Alley Confession ready and call 201-332-3484 with your Bowling Alley Confession. And you should also know, my friends, you should also know that if you are looking for a fantastic Father's Day read, you need to look no further than the two new action-packed thrillers out now by acclaimed author Daniel Palmer. Available in hardcover, Constant Fear has been described as diehard on a prep school campus. It's a story filled with breakneck suspense as a father battles the odds to save his kidnapped son. And paperback readers can look for Desperate, which follows a man who must make an unthinkable choice to save his marriage. Constant Fear and Desperate, two books by Daniel Palmer, are on sale wherever books are sold and at KensingtonBooks.com. KensingtonBooks.com. And tonight's episode of The Best Show is brought to you by Squarespace, the amazing website provider. Start building your website today at Squarespace.com. Enter offer code BESTSHOW at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. And now, we're ready to go. Let's keep it clean, guys. Let's have a fun show. Let's have some sportsmanship in the mix. We're here for fun. Let's have a good game out there. And let us start the best show.
Jersey, back again.
How's this sound, Mike? Good? You fired up? We're back. Best Show's back. Had a little technical difficulty there for a minute. Dudio jumps in there. You should have seen this guy. It was like Minority Report. What was the movie? Which one is it? Minority Report. This guy was throwing things this way, that way, technologically. I never saw anything like it. It was like he was conducting. Look, to be fair, I don't think the technical problems would have happened if he wasn't drumming on the computer. He had his fancy drumsticks and he's banging on everything. But he fixed it. I'm not saying his drumming on the computer was responsible for the problem. But Dudio locked in. He sorted that thing out like nobody's business. I never saw anything like it. It was impressive, right, Mike? Mike wasn't even looking. Kidding. Mike's so zoned out tonight. This guy is operating on a different wavelength, man. That's why we love him, though, right? That's why we love AP Mike. That's why the people can't get enough of what AP Mike is selling. They can't get enough. And what's he selling? Copies of Mad Max Fury Road in the Walgreens parking lot, out of trunk, as they say in the business, out of trunk. No, he doesn't do that. Not yet. Soon. Trust me. This time next year, me and Mike will be, it'll be like that episode of Seinfeld will come true. Be me and Mike filming movies. Me and Mike filming the Star Wars movie. What about the music we heard? I've been listening to a lot of Danielson lately. And their most recent album, Best of Gloucester County. Is that how you say it? Gloucester. Best of Gloucester County. This is a great album. I'm telling you, man. It's underrated. We heard, But I Don't Want to Sing About Guitars. And this is on the Sounds Familiar label. Can't go wrong with any Danielson anything. Some of my favorite people. The Smith family. That's an awesome group of super talented people. Can't go wrong, man. Before that, speaking of super talented, Nick Diamonds from his upcoming solo album, City of Quartz. We heard The Sting. You might know Nick Diamonds from Unicorns and from Islands. He's got a solo album coming out in June. Get ready. Get your orders in now. Don't miss it. Good guy. Starting us off. None. N-U-N. Their debut album. On Hozak. The song was Cronenberg. I'm sure it's named after the director, David Cronenberg. But this album is good stuff. You got some heavy creep synth on that. Some creep synth. Just got this. Can't wait to get more acquainted with it. None. N-U-N, not N-O-N-E. None. The phone number. 201-332-3484. Thanks again, Dudio, for sorting it out. Jason. Gore, the dude who built the studio, is Dudio. Admittedly, his nickname, I'm not into it. Tonight, he gets to be called Dudio with no qualifiers because he fixed the whole deal. It all came crashing down. Dudio fixed it. That's computer stuff, man. I got no aptitude for it. I got no aptitude for it. Which leads me to tell you guys all about Squarespace. Computer stuff, man, building websites. That's rough stuff. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know coding. Trying to make something that looks good and works. That's a hopeless cause. And thankfully, we've got Squarespace here to help us. Whether you're building a portfolio, a business site, a restaurant, whatever you want to get out there into the world, you need a website. And Squarespace makes it easy to build beautiful websites without breaking a sweat. Squarespace provides simple, powerful, and beautiful websites that look professional on any device. No coding required. And they provide you with intuitive and easy-to-use tools to create your website. And state-of-the-art technology powering it, your site, to ensure security and stability. And that way you can trust in Squarespace for your website needs when the millions of people and some of the most respected brands in the world trust in them as well. And yes, computer stuff, not good at it. Usually me, covered in sweat, pounding away at my keyboard, trying to fix something that's not working because I just don't know. I'm good at this. I'm not good at the computer side of things. We all can't be good at everything. I'm not good at the computer side of things. And again, that's why Squarespace can't be beat. Can't beat that ease and simplicity. They give you 24/7 online support and a beautiful website for only $8 a month. You can even get a free domain if you buy Squarespace for the year. So what are you waiting for? Start a trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. When you do decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code BESTSHOW to get 10% off your first purchase and to show your support for the best show. That is offer code BESTSHOW over at squarespace.com. Gets you 10% off your first purchase. And we thank the fine folks at Squarespace for their support of the best show. Squarespace, build it beautiful. What are we going to talk about tonight? Oh, we're going to do bowling alley confessions on and off throughout the whole night. How's that work? Well, you, the listener and caller, shall remain anonymous. You shall call up. Do not give your name or your location. The sounds of a bowling alley will be in the background, and you will cloak yourself in the anonymity that only a bowling alley can provide. And you can make your confession completely anonymous. Are bowling alleys the, is that an automatic thing, Mike, if you're looking for a bathroom? Like a bowling alley, that's like 100% certainty, right? But you can just walk into any bowling alley and just go right to the men's room, right? You don't have to worry about. Yeah, nobody's gonna go, hey! Can I help you? Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to bowl, but I'm just going to go to the men's room first. Something I can help you with? Yeah, nobody cares at a bowling alley. Most under-attended. One guy behind a counter. That's where they should do one of those flash mob things. Bowling alley. Why doesn't Improve Everywhere go to a bowling alley? Right? Why don't they go to a bowling alley? Make some 75-year-old man's life a living nightmare. They come in doing their dance. Right? Bowling shoes. We're here for bowling shoes. With whatever song they've got written. Guy just shuts the bowling alley down. Now I'm telling you, you see a bowling alley? I've played a game before driving around in certain towns, and you see the business, and you say, is there a gun inside that business? It's a fun game. Is there a gun behind the counter at that business? Certain businesses? Maybe. Bowling alley? Yeah, there's some kind of weapon back there. That you can take. You can take that to the bank. There's no way the guy at the bowling alley doesn't have something back there. Not that I'm saying, I'm not glorifying that. I'm just saying, you know, there's something back there. These bowling alley guys aren't just, they're not just leaning, they're not trusting that they can talk you out of something. Do you think that's right, Mike? Yeah, right? Some bars? Thing with masses, you just got your kung fu. You mess around with Mike, he'll break out his kung fu. And a baseball bat, he said. Okay. But yes, bowling alley confessions later in the show. The phone number, 201-332-3484, which apparently stands for what, dead hug? Is that what it was? thankfully, that didn't catch on. These goons all tried to make that stick. Why did I just bring it up then? I'm not sure why I did that. I'm actually the one who just brought it back to life. Yeah. Bowling Alley Confessions, you want to talk about anything, you can talk about something you wish you had not done, something you wish you had done. We've all got those things. We've all got things we wish we hadn't done. And what a better place to tell your tale than at the bowling alley. But we're not doing that now. We'll just do some straight up, good, old-fashioned open phones. Who's good here, Mike? One. And remember, if Spike calls, Mike, he gets right through. Best show, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, am I on the air?
You are on the air, yes.
Oh, wow. Hi, this is Jess.
Who is this?
This is Jeff.
Jeff. How are you, Jeff?
I'm busy, tired, a little stressed, but good overall.
Where are you calling from?
I'm from Edison, New Jersey.
Okay. And what's up with this phone line here? Are you not so hot?
I'm in a basement. Better or worse?
Oh, that was much worse.
Is this better?
It's getting worse.
It's getting worse. I'm sorry. I will hang up.
Goodbye. Sorry, Jeff. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Am I in the bowling alley?
Not yet.
Oh, just... well then. I think you should just hang up and me.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. I have a bowling alley confession.
Look, we're not in the bowling alley yet, but...
Okay, we're not there yet. Well, yeah. I mean, I have something I still want to talk about.
Sure, let's talk about that.
In this movie, and I can't
stop watching
it.
The next hour, we'll do bowling alley confessions.
Okay, cool, man. Well, it's this movie, and I can't stop watching it over and over again. It's called Zombievers.
Okay.
It's exactly what you would think, and it's perfect in every terrible way. It's about these zombie beavers. They're radioactive, and when they die, they come back to life and infect other things, and then they infect people. And I don't want to spoil anything, but I mean, it's a really messed up movie, and I think it's awful, but I think I keep watching it over and over again because I'm pretty sure I'm emotionally attracted to one of the lead actresses, and I don't really know what to do about it.
How old is this movie?
It came out, I believe, earlier this year or last summer.
Okay. Well, that's creepy.
Yeah, can you imagine a zombie beaver attacking you with like felled trees and giant teeth?
I can't.
Yeah,
I cannot. Sounds creepy.
Yeah.
Okay. Goodbye. I can't. Can't do that. Wow, we went through those phones pretty fast. Every line was tied up. Now it's a veritable tumbleweed rolling through. .  We'll do bowling alley confessions in the next hour, but right now we can just talk to the nice people. Last week we did hashtag replace Harry, which was me making a pitch to replace Harry Shearer as the voice of all his characters on The Simpsons, and it's catching fire. I'm hearing things. I can't say what, but I'm hearing things. I'm hearing a call was made, is all I will say. A call was made. But you know what? I wouldn't take the job in retrospect. It's not fair. I'm not a scab. Not here to undercut Harry Shearer, take his job from him. That's his to negotiate. He don't want to do it. Then it's an open market. Then we'll come for it. But until then, I'm not here to take his livelihood. Not a scab. I'm not no company man. I stand up for the people standing up against companies. Bill Simmons, I stand up for Ugh. Look, Bill Simmons, not always on the same page with Bill Simmons with a lot of things, but he got canned by ESPN. Not cool. Not cool, man. Why'd they can him? Because they were saying he was getting too big for his britches. For people who don't know, Bill Simmons is this guy. He would write all these columns about the Celtics, and he would talk all about Teen Wolf and how Kevin McHale reminded him of Screech and things like that. He would compare basketball games to episodes of Saved by the Bell. And look, not always for me. Sometimes I loved it, sometimes not for me. But he started this thing, Grantland, which was is a good site. A lot of good articles on there. I legitimately admire Grantland. Keeps a lot of people writing a lot of good things. They did a lot of good SNL stuff, building up to the 40th anniversary. But then he got, he was negotiating his contract, and ESPN canned him. Why? Because they said he got too big for his britches. ESPN. Can you imagine rooting for that? Yes. How did that nightmare take place to where that company is, like, so huge? Oh. It's gross. ESPN. Just think about how omnipotent they are. They're everywhere. Go to a place sit and eat a sandwich, ESPN's playing. Got to look at Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless in the morning. Got Skip Bayless in the morning. Got that other Woody Page in the afternoon. Oh, tell you, that channel. Sometimes it's like you watch it and it's all these heads. You'd think you were watching like the making of like horror masks. Right? You'd think it was like a horror puppet show. With those faces. Some of those faces. Stephen A. Smith. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? And these guys, everybody's got this channel. It turned into this thing where everybody's got an opinion about everything. Like, I've never had that many opinions about everything. Could you, like, these guys, what do you think of the hockey game? And they give the most impassioned opinion about it. Okay, well, what do you think about the football game? And then they give the most impassioned thing about every single football game scheduled and every single baseball. It's like, you can't, how can anybody care that much? And they're like screaming, like, really? You're going to scream about everything? This guy, Skip Bayless, you got to see this guy. He looks like if that Crypt Keeper went Hollywood. That's what he looks like. If the Crypt Keeper decided he's moving to Miami, is what he actually looks like. Miami Crypt Keeper. Tales from the Crypt Miami, starring Skip Bayless. And the Stephen A. Smith. Oh, brother. That guy. Just yell. Just everybody shouting about opinions. That's me saying that. I shout about opinions here. And I'm saying that. All right. Well, we can keep talking more about this as the show goes on. Let's go back to the phones. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, is this Tom?
It is Tom.
Hey, Tom. Loving the show tonight. Very, very enjoyable.
Cool, cool. I'm glad you're enjoying the show. Who is this?
This is Mark in Newbridge Lowe's.
Hey, Mark. Wait, Newbridge Lowe's?
Yeah.
Wow. I've never been out to Newbridge Lowe's. That's the area that's over all the way out beyond the Newbridge Heights, right?
Yeah, way out beyond the heights, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. I've never taken a trip out there.
It's a pretty interesting place to live, I'll tell you that. You know, once you get past the weather issues, it's enjoyable, sure.
Yeah, I think the weather stuff is probably why I've never been out there. It seems nuts.
Well, that comes with living in a part of town that's 800 feet below sea level, you know? It's so effing hot here.
800 feet below sea level. That is so weird, because you think about places like that only being in, like Africa or the Middle East being that far below sea level.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, like the motto goes, from the world's largest collection of wacky packages to loin-crushing aridity, Newbridge got it all.
Yeah, I've always thought that that should have been, like, reworded or worded differently. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not even sure if aridity is a word, is it?
I think aridity might be a word, but maybe. Got it all. Newbridge got it all. I've never understood.
Yeah.
That's not proper English.
No, it sure ain't.
No, okay. Well,
I was joking. I know it's. Yeah, sure. I should have said it sure isn't.
So what's going on tonight, Mark?
Oh well, you know, I heard you mention that at some point about, you know, about things you wish you hadn't done, that kind of thing, you know, and tell you, I've got one that's been making my life a living check.
You've got a thing you wish you hadn't done.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's making your life what?
A living heck. It reminds me of this flick that was just on called Montage of Heck. Have you seen this thing?
That's the Kurt Cobain documentary.
Yes.
I have not seen it yet. Have you? You've seen it?
I did. It was good. You know what? It was really, really, really light on Eyes Adrift.
What's that?
You're joking.
No, I'm not. I'm not joking.
It's Mel Vasalek's band. Two after Nirvana. Of course, he had, I think it was called Sweet 76 or something. And then he had this band, Eyes Adrift, with one of the Kirkwood brothers and the drummer from Sublime.
So you're saying the documentary, the Kurt Cobain documentary, it comes up a little light in terms of...
It was, yeah, really, really, really light.
Uh-huh. Like how light?
There was no mention of it at all.
Yeah, well, it's not that surprising that they wouldn't get into Chris Novoselic's second post-Nirvana band. But, I mean, that's I guess you got to tell a story with those things, and there's not a lot of room for that.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah, yeah. So you've had something that's been making your life a living heck, as you said?
Yes.
What is that?
Well, okay, here's the story. Not to brag, but, you know, I'm one of the foremost authorities on Civil War photography in America.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
And, you know, as being that, I was asked to sit for an interview for a special that the Smithsonian Channel was doing on Matthew Brady. Do you know who he was?
I know that name.
He was pretty much the most famous of the Civil War photographers. You know, he did a lot of those really iconic photos that you've seen all your life.
You know? So they you were asked by the Smithsonian Channel to be a part of a documentary
on him. Yeah.
Okay. On Matthew Brady.
Exactly. Yeah,
well,
it was big stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. I mean, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it could have been the launch of something really big for me. You know, could have really led to a lot of opportunities. You know, like teaching and lecturing, and you know, I could have even gotten my own TV show out of it. You know,
you've said could have a few times.
Yeah.
Why is it could have?
How much time do you have? Do you have a couple minutes?
Yeah, sure. We have a couple minutes.
All right. Well, look, I'm a guy of a certain age, you know, and I thought it was about time to start wearing a hat.
Wearing a hat?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a thing for a lot of guys now, you know, my age. And perhaps you've seen these hats. They're almost... straw-looking, and they have a very shallow brim. You know these things?
I think I know the kind of hat you're talking about.
Yeah, you see them a lot if you go to clubs or, like, you know, a bar. there's kind of a hip bar in the summer, in the afternoon, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, well, I saw these guys wearing these hats, and I thought, you know, I can pull that off, too. There's no way I shouldn't be able to. But my wife, she begged to differ.
She said you couldn't pull off the hat?
She did, yeah. She thought it was a bad idea, and it would make my head, neck, and face look just completely massive.
Okay.
And so, you know, I really disagreed with her, and we got into this huge argument that basically resulted in the Newbridge Diving and Rescue Squad needing to be called in.
Over the argument?
Yeah, it spilled out into a lake.
The argument spilled out into a lake?
It did, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
I don't want to get too far into it. But look, that's besides the point, okay?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I started wearing the hat, even though Sheila said it made me look like Andre the Giant wearing a fez.
Okay.
But, you know, I felt pretty rocking in that thing.
You liked it.
I thought I looked great in it, and I even contemplated throwing a tiki-themed party for my buddies at work.
Because you were so into, what, the vibe that the hat created?
Yeah, well said, Tom. It gave me a certain vibe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So this hat kind of gave you like a certain kind of confidence almost?
It sure did. It sure did. You know, so when this call comes from Smithsonian to do this interview,
mm-hmm.
It's a no-brainer. I'm going to wear the hat, you know, and show the world what I'm a smarto who can also kick it to Social D.
Kick it to what?
Social D.
Social D. Social distortion?
Yes!
Is that the kind of hat? Is that the kind of hat that a lot of Social Distortion fans would wear?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
but you so you wore the hat?
I did, yeah. So I wear it. I do the interview in the hat. It goes great, and then I'm just kind of waiting around for months before the show airs, and I feel really great about it because I know I was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And now the world's going to be my oyster, right?
Because you killed it in the documentary.
I totally killed it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I crushed it. I like when people say that they crush something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, because nobody ever overstates that, you know what I mean?
No.
Like, they only use that when they actually truly crushed something.
They do, yeah. It's like when they're also killing it, too. I like
yeah.
when people say that, too. Like, I saw my friend Bert, he was killing it at the Sunday Fixins bar the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you were just like, did you say to him, you're killing it, or did he say to you, I'm killing it?
Oh, no, I Instagrammed that he was killing it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So he killed it at the Sunday Fixins bar.
He did, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So look, anyway, I'm sorry, I'm digressing.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. So the show airs. But the night the show airs, I had to take our son Cyrus to his DJing class.
To a what?
A DJing class. Why?
Your son Cyrus is taking DJ lessons?
He sure is. He's great, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's, like, learning how to do what? To mix things?
Oh, yeah, yeah. His teacher says that he's the best in the 3 and under class.
He's 3 and under?
Mm-hmm.
And he's learning how to DJ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess you got to start somewhere, right?
Exactly, yeah. So I couldn't watch it when the show aired the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But Sheila was home watching it and, you know, and recording it on the DVR.
Okay.
So, you know, after DJ class, I pick Cyrus up and I pull into the driveway and I'm all excited as I'm coming up the front stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I'm going to open that door and Sheila's going to tell me how great I was.
Okay.
So I open the door and I feel this wine glass go whizzing by my face.
Huh.
Yeah. I look over and there's Sheila and she is madder than a rattlesnake at a Thai wedding, Tom.
That's mad. That's like the apex of anger.
It is. It's very angry.
Yeah.
And so she just starts going, you had to wear that dumb little hat, didn't you? And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, because I knew I looked rocking in that hat.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you something. I look so good in that hat, the makeup woman on the set even said so. And she once did makeup for Chris Squire.
Wait, the woman who did makeup for this Smithsonian thing did makeup for Chris Squire.
Yeah. That's, have you heard of him?
Yeah, the bass player from Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When did she do makeup for him?
I think it was for the Owner of a Lonely Heart video.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she put the makeup on him for that video.
Yes, yeah. She said it was a lot of pancake.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah. So I'm like, what are you talking about, woman? I call her woman sometimes.
Uh-huh. It's charming.
And so I push play on the DVR, right?
Yeah.
And the episode starts, and, you know, I was pretty much the featured interviewee in this thing, so I knew I'd probably be the first person who appeared.
Mm-hmm.
And I was right. Unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
Look, Tom, I don't know about camera angles or any of that stuff.
Okay.
But the guy who shot this thing?
Yeah.
He should literally be killed in the chest.
The guy who shot it should literally be killed in the chest?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I dropped my wallet again. Hang on.
Oh, no, Mark.
Oh, my cards spilled out.
Your cards? Like your credit cards?
My Jamba Juice card. I need two more punches. I get a free small. Okay, I'm back. It's all back in order. Yeah,
protect that card, because, I mean, it sounds like you've put a fair amount of work in. You're in the home stretch on that.
I am. I want that free green and great, small green and great.
Yeah, and there's
green and great and ginger. That's what it is.
And there's no replacing those things. Like, you can't go there and say, I had eight things, holes punched on this thing.
Mm-hmm. No.
But I lost it.
Yeah. They'll never believe you.
No.
So anyway, this cat, man, he framed the shot from below.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, it made me look like Andre the Giant wearing an anemic child's derby.
So Sheila was right.
She was kind of right. It made my head look like a tan beanbag with facial features.
Okay.
Yeah. She didn't say that part of it, but, you know, F her anyway, right?
Well, okay. I mean, that's your business.
I'm in shock as I'm watching this thing. It's like, oh, my God, the blood is rushing from my head.
Because you were getting ready to look at, like, a good-looking guy.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So I'm just staring at this thing, dumbfounded. And I look at my phone. My phone is lighting up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting all these texts from my friends.
Yeah.
With messages like, does Cyrus know that you borrowed his baby hat? And what was another one? Nice head thimble, numbnuts.
Head thimble.
Head thimble. I've never even heard of that term.
So that's like that must be like a slang for a tiny hat?
It made my head look really huge, this thing, yeah.
Really? Like you actually had a thimble on top of it?
A thimble, exactly, yeah.
Like a hat-shaped thimble.
Exactly, yes.
Like a Monopoly piece.
Yes! Why are you doing this to me? It hurts enough.
No, look, I'm just hearing you. Look, I'm sorry. You tell your story, Mark.
Well, I didn't tell you the worst one.
What's that?
It's from my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Did you eat the brim of the hat before the director yelled action?
Your own mother said that.
Yes.
Wow. That's hard. That's hurtful.
It's terrible. And then ever since that night last week, my life has been in the dumper. I mean, I can't go two blocks without someone yelling, hey, Tiny Hat, at me.
They call you Tiny Hat?
They do, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'll tell you some other things.
Yeah.
My wife has cut our lovemaking sessions down to thrice weekly.
Down to okay. Well.
Yeah.
From what?
Not to tell you that.
Well, you still told me 17. One of them.
17.
17.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's...
I have needs.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not judging you.
Well, even worse, little Cyrus.
Yeah.
He had to be taken out of school because kids were calling him a son of a tiny hat.
The son of a tiny hat.
Yes, yes, uh-huh. Like that song. That was the original version of Son of a Preacher Man, apparently.
Son of a tiny hat?
Yep.
The song, the only one who could ever reach me.
Was the son of a tiny hat.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at.
Well, Mark?
Yeah?
While you were telling that whole story,
yeah.
I Googled the Smithsonian interview, and I see some stills from it.
Uh-huh.
And, look, okay, I mean... Yeah, I gotta say, the angle of the shot makes it look like the hat is really tiny. And that, you know, maybe your face looks like bigger than it is. Like your face looks larger than it probably is.
Oh my God, I thought you were gonna be nice to me. I'm dropping out of society.
You know, what's that?
I'm dropping out of society.
You're dropping out of society.
Yeah.
You can't. Why would you drop out of society? You can't give up what you love doing.
Sure I can. I will.
Well, I don't think that's a good. You have a skill and you have something that you can contribute to the world with. And it would be a shame if you let this kind of take you away from
that.
Wait, what was that?
Oh, great.
Was that some guy yelling?
Yeah, I'm out. Look, I'm going to be shopping for mid-priced yurts tomorrow. Hopefully I'll be living off-grid in Tanzania by August. That's it for me.
You're going to shop for yurts?
Yep.
Well, Mark, I don't know if this is as all-encompassing as it seems to be for you. This is something you can get past.
I can't, no.
You know. I mean, you could probably alleviate a lot of this by, like, kind of, you know, not wearing the tiny hat anymore.
I'm not wearing it! I burned that thing the night the show aired! No, Tom, that was just another tiny hat maniac.
Wait, that guy yelled, "Nice hat," because...
Yep. 'Cause
you were...
He saw the show, I guess. One of my fans.
So he wasn't just seeing a guy with the hat on.
Nope.
And he just a tiny hat maniac?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, that, well, I mean, that's not a real thing. Like, that's something you're making up.
No, it is a real thing. Yeah, someone started a website called tinyhatmaniacs.com.
Yeah.
And they charge people to join so they can all make fun of me.
Oh, my God. Here, yeah. Wow.
You didn't go to it, did you?
I'm at it now. There are so many...
Oh, no.
So many memes and GIFs. There's like thousands of these here. And I guess I have to, like... It's like a monthly fee to join... To, like, I guess you can look at them without paying, but you can, to download them, I guess you have to pay. Is that how it works?
Don't advertise this thing, you mutant!
What? I'm just, you're the one who mentioned the site.
Well, I didn't think you were going to, like, tell people what it was about and trying to get people to sign up. I thought you were my friend.
Well, Mark, I just got to tell you, I don't know what to tell you, actually. This seems like it's kind of caught fire here.
Oh, well, I know what to tell you.
What?
If you need me, I'll be riding my tall bike off Kern Bridge into the Red Sea of Newbridge.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to ride my tall bike off Kern Bridge into the Red Sea of Newbridge.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry you do that. That's a little extreme. There's no reason. What? No, I do. Wait, what is that? Mark, is that your tall bike? Mark? Mark?
Yeah, my tall bike has two horns.
And you're going to ride it into the Red Sea and Newbridge? Is that what you said?
Goodbye!
Hello? Mark? Hello? Oh, line's dead. Okay. Wow. I guess he might have rode his bike into the... That's sad. I'm sorry to hear that's... I hope he's okay. I hope that guy's okay. And Mike really cares. I heard the crack of a Coors Light out there. I'm assuming that's Coors Light, right? That was Dudio. Really? He's got a Coors Light? Oh, no. This is the worst. Mike's trying to get Dudio to start drinking Coors Light during the show. That's the last thing we need. Imagine what goes on we got any kind of tech problem. Guys will tell me to jump in the Red Sea in Newbridge. And there, that was you. There it is. Mike's catching up. Dudio's drinking what? Coke? Seltzer. Good. But Mike's matching him with every seltzer with a Coors Light. There you go. Different strokes for different folks. So anyway, I was saying about this. I'm not going to take Harry Shearer's job. Sure, we showed we could do it. I covered most of the voices he does on The Simpsons. I'm sure listeners could plug in a few here and there, the ones I couldn't get. But I'm not taking his job. That's some scab stuff, man. Not doing it. Because again, I'm not a company man. I'm not Jay Leno. Side with the creatives, the creative types. Yeah, side with this guy John Skipper. I keep seeing the guy who fired Bill Simmons from ESPN. John Skipper. Can you imagine some guy running ESPN? Oh, how insufferable! They're just all they do is just, they're just in bed with football. Football, yes. They got Roger Goodell telling them how it goes. What commands do you have for us now, Roger Goodell? Tell us what to do. This guy Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the National Football League. Guy looks like It's like a bale of hay shoved in a suit, like a scarecrow. If you built a scarecrow out of like a suit, you put like a suit out in the cornfield. That guy. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Ed from Portland.
Ed. From Portland. What's going on tonight, Ed?
enjoying the show, but I'm having a lot of trouble with my parenting.
You're having trouble with your parenting?
Being a parent.
Why? What's wrong?
Well, we're pretty cultured people. We had our kid kind of late. We're in our mid-40s now. The kid's 3. Great kid. And, you know, living out here, we walk in the woods, we swim, we read, we draw, we play, we do all that, you know, hippie stuff. But there's still a lot of time left over, and sometimes you have a headache, bad weather, and need to turn on the TV or resort to some popular media, some contemporary stuff. And it's, especially as old people and trying to be good parents, just at a loss. You know, I don't want to put on stuff that's too stupid or cloying or boring or too poppy, but all these stuff that looks like it's supposed to be good for you, like good food, the educational stuff seems just as deadly, pedantic, and most of it seems secretly Christian. And when I was a kid, we didn't have a lot of choices. Whatever was on, which was mostly Hee Haw and Petticoat Junction reruns, or Saturday morning cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because of, you know, we don't have cable, but we have a Roku, so we have, you know, Hulu and Netflix. And the kid can see that whatever he wants is at his fingertips if he yells loud enough. And I'm afraid that he may or may not have good taste. And what sort of future that bodes for him and for us.
Wait, how old is this kid?
Kid's a little over 3.
Yeah, what do you care he's got good taste? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. He's a 3. He's 3.
Because I have to sit there with him for a lot of it.
Yeah, so what? That's what being a parent is about. You watch the dumb garbage your kid wants to watch. You're watching Hee Haw and Petticoat Junction. Now you're moaning because your kid doesn't like Better Call Saul? Get off my phone. I'm worried about his kid being cool. You know, barf. It's enough to make you barf. Worried about his kid. I you know what I wish on that guy? I hope his kid's the uncoolest kid in the world. I hope he gets stuck with a kid that he likes McLaughlin Report. I hope that's what your kid gravitates toward. McLaughlin Report. That guy, Mel McLaughlin. What is his name? What's his first name? John McLaughlin, the guitarist. He's political now, right? So the guy from Mahavishnu Orchestra is also spouts off about politics? Next up on the docket, Joe Zwaniwal. We're going to talk about Return to Forever, Spyro Gyra. Let's go to Pat Buchanan to talk about early 70s Miles Davis. Yeah, that guy. I hope that was a put-on. I hope that was a comedy routine, and that guy's doing a little victory dance in his living room for putting his little comedy routine together. You can't worry about your kid being cool. Watch the junk a kid wants to watch, or take it away from him. But don't worry about him being cool. I can't believe it. My kid doesn't like Turn. Right? My kid's not... Come on, Billy, let's... sit down with your old dad and watch Halt and Catch Fire. The new season's on. You have to realize it's 2 years later. It's the early 80s now. Come on, sit down with your pop. Steve Wozniak's a consultant on this. Come on, sit down with your dad and let's rewatch the Madman finale. Sit down with your pop. Why don't you like Madman? Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, this is Bane in D.C.
Who?
Bane in D.C.
Bane.
Yes.
Bane like the monster in the Batman movies?
No, Dane as in Great Bane or
Dane Cook.
Dane Cook.
Yeah, you might want to go to Bane, actually. You might actually... The name Dane is taking a little bit of a beating lately. right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's a better comparison, Dane Cook or the least interesting villain from the Batman movies?
Yeah, it's true. It's a fair point. Yeah. What's going on tonight, Dane?
Well, I was wondering if you heard, I guess this was announced a while ago, but I just saw that Stephen King book about the JFK assassination time travel thing is getting adapted into a TV show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard about that James Franco will be playing in that.
Yeah, I'll watch that. And
so, you know, I know you watched Under the Dome, and there was kind of a bait and switch where you thought it was going to be explained, but then they just strung it out.
Yeah.
So I was curious, what do you think they would do if they wanted to bait and switch and say, you know, he didn't save him, but he did, and then how would they twist it to like, keep it going on and on?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure they'll wrap that up. If you got a movie star, you got to wrap it up. They got James Franco. They'll wrap that thing up.
Fair enough.
You can't string the deed. Look, we got Dean Norris. They'll keep that thing going. Dean Norris will be like, yeah, let's keep it going. Yeah, sure. You guys didn't wrap up the dome thing yet? Speaking of which, I'm going to open another Under the Dome pack of cards. I have the Season 1 trading cards here. Dudio gave me a whole box of them when the best show started. And we're going to open them. Here's a card, Imperfect Circles. It's Dean Norris squaring off with his son. The fourth hand. It's a glowing hand. Here's someone touching the dome. That's the cop. Another card with that hunk. Okay, there we go. More Under the Dome cards. So exciting. Can't believe we don't do that every week.
It's a highlight.
So they'll finish that thing.
Yeah. Do you think Dean Norris could play a role? What would he play?
Do I think Dean Norris could play a role in the JFK thing?
Yeah, like sure. He'd be a historical figure.
Historical figure? Like what? Like who?
I don't know. Like, you know, there's
Nixon?
References to other politicians and people at that time. I'm not sure if he could play one of those.
Look, I don't know. You're vamping now. You're running out of
all
steam.
Right.
Goodbye. Guy's trying to do whatever it took to stay on the line. That was we were in speed territory there where he was doing anything to keep the bus moving. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, my name is Braden. I'm in Washington State.
Okay, what's up with this phone, buddy? It's a little muffled.
Can you hear? Can you hear it better now?
A little better.
Okay, sorry, I was on speaker.
Okay. First, let me just say, I hope all the people listening who are down in, we got a lot of friends listening down in Texas to the best show. I hope everybody is safe and with all the flooding that's going on. The flooding, it's terrible. That flooding is insane, and I hope everybody's okay.
Yeah, it seems like it's pretty rough down. My dad's from Texas, so I've been hearing bad things about what's going on down there.
Mm-hmm.
But
so what's
called,
going on?
I'm pretty new to your show. I've only listened twice.
Okay.
But I have this friend who's like a really big fan, and he's been pushing me to listen for a long time because he's good about doing that sort of thing.
Okay.
And one of the things he had me listen to, because he knows I'm a sucker for this sort of thing, is one of these sound montages you did.
Mm-hmm.
You had Jake Fogelnest on a couple months ago.
I don't think so.
No?
Oh, no, I did. You're right. Jake Fogelnest was here.
Yeah, it was, and then you did the sound montage, it started with Suicide, I guess that's a thing you do a lot, Frankie Teardrop, and then halfway through, though, you switched, like, the baseline, like, the theme that was carrying the piece, to, like, that opening bit from Roundabout, and I was like, that was great, I was a big fan of that.
Oh, why, thank you.
Yeah, so I wanted to Thank you for, I don't know, it's good.
You're welcome.
At my workplace, my coworkers tend to listen to a lot of Rush Limbaugh.
All right, what's going on here? What's going on there? You got a little.
It's
little...
bad news. I work with old people.
Mm-hmm. Well, what line of work are you in?
I make paint.
You what?
I make paint.
You make paint.
We manufacture paint.
And where are you again?
In Washington State.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And but I mean, we listen to a lot of Rush Limbaugh at my work. And I think the thing I'm going to start doing is just getting there first, and I'm going to start playing the best show just from my phone.
Good.
Like past episodes.
Shake
and
it up,
we'll
right?
Listen to that. Yeah, instead of Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Which is going to be great.
You shock those fossils, right? You shake those fossils out of their overalls, right?
I mean, I try to, you know?
I mean, are you guys covered in paint all day?
Yeah, actually, I spend most of my day covered in paint.
What's your favorite color paint?
Teal. I love teal.
What's your least favorite? What's the hardest one to get off?
The hardest one to get off?
Yeah.
I mean, we only have like one kind of paint, and like it's just different colors we put inside of it.
Mm-hmm. So they're all equivalent. There's no
yeah,
difference.
They're all, and it's all, I mean, it's pretty easy to wash off, mm-hmm. to be honest with you.
Right.
I don't mean to make it sound like I'm working my butt off over here.
Yeah. Well.
Slaving away or whatever.
All right. Paint.
My friend, though, who told me about the show has been pushing me to, he's starting a radio show of his own soon.
Okay.
It's going to be in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
And, I don't know. Do you have, what do you tell someone when they start a show?
Best of luck.
That's great. He's going to love that.
Well, please relay that message. You have a great night.
Thanks.
Oh, boy. Let's liven these calls up, Mike. Mike, there's a reason that guy works with paint all day. That call was like, that was the equivalent of gray paint, that call. That was gray paint. Another gray paint call. Liven it up. Let's get some ladies on the line. The dudes are getting a little flat tonight. Call up, ladies. Best show. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom?
Yes.
Hey, this is Dave from D.C.
Dave from D.C.?
Yes. Dave, not Dane.
Okay, what's up, Dave?
Not much. I just wanted to know if you saw the Letterman special and what you thought of it.
The special or the final episode?
The final episode.
Yeah, I did. I saw it. It was fine, right?
Yeah, I thought it was really great.
I thought I was going to get emotional watching it, but then I didn't. It was the end of the show.
Oh, really? We got a little emotional.
Okay, I didn't. I sat there and I was like, okay, he's leaving. He's not dead.
Yeah.
He's just not going to get paid $35 million a year anymore for being on TV.
True.
It's a little hard to get too weepy about that.
That's a good point. What'd you think of the Foo Fighters sort of ending montage song?
It's fine. I was a little surprised. All the bands, that's the song that meant something to him. I thought he would have had the acoustic version. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know when Dave Grohl does that acoustic version of that song?
Yeah.
It's like, and now I waited there for you. Right?
Yeah.
Ever long. Like he's overpronouncing every line. If
yeah.
everything could ever be this real forever. You know that version? He's like, if everything could ever be this good again. And you're like, do you not have a windscreen in this thing? I'm hearing a lot of saliva. The only thing I ever ask of you, you gotta promise not to stop when I say when. A little breathy when he does it like that.
Yeah, maybe that's why they didn't do it.
Look, you know what I like? I like that music video for that song. That's a good Michel Gondry video.
Yeah, that's true.
What was your favorite moment of the whole thing?
Yeah, I think I really like the montage, probably.
The final montage? I like the final montage, too.
I thought that was really cool.
The only thing that got me, that touched me, was when they showed the Bill Murray montage of all the things he's done on the show over the years. That impacted me. I didn't get a weepy, but that actually hit me more than any of the other stuff, seeing how many times Bill Murray was on the show and how many different bits he had done over the years.
Yeah. My girlfriend never saw an episode of the show before.
Yeah.
She just started bawling during the montage.
All right, well, that's weird. She's playing catch-up, right?
Yeah. In a really short span of time.
Yet you got to tell her, pull it together. You got to say to her, you don't care about this show. If you cared, you had 6,000 chances to watch it. Pull it together.
All right, I'm going to tell her that.
Yeah, you have a good night. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Dom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jesse in Las Vegas.
Jesse in Las Vegas. What's up, Jesse?
Not much. I wanted to call up because I have a kind of a weird question I want to ask you.
What's that?
Who do you think the most racist member of the Eagles is?
That is either a great question or a terrible question. I don't know. I wouldn't want to slap that on anybody. Why, do you have an opinion on that?
I was originally leaning toward Don Henley, because I think I remember reading that Get Over It was his, that he wrote the lyrics to it, and it seems like somebody that would write that song would be kind of regressive racially.
I can't take that leap. I'm sorry. Look, I think those guys are terrible, but I'm not going to throw around the idea that any of them are racist just because they write terrible songs.
Okay.
Yeah, goodbye. What do people want from me here? Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing all right. What do you want?
Question for you. Have you seen this video floating around of Paul McCartney doing temporary secretary from two nights ago?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I guess this is the first time he's played the song live in, like, 30 years, first time he's ever played it, and so I know you're a big McCartney fan. I was just curious if you had seen it or not.
I haven't seen it. Yeah. I'll check it out. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
I had something quick about you totally calling the ending of Mad Men.
What?
I'm not looking to give away any super spoilers, but your prediction of Mad Men totally happened.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for the call. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. It's Sam in Dallas, Texas calling.
What's up, Sam?
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great.
I'm a little nervous.
All right, we'll take a deep breath.
Okay.
What do you got? What do you want to talk about, Sam?
Well, I initially wanted to talk about Guy Fieri, but that suddenly seems really stupid.
Well, hold on one second. Let me just say something. Hey, Mike, hang up on any dudes. These dudes all have the same voice and the same weird entitlement in their voice. The same. Not this guy. This guy Sam seems all right. He can't hear me. He's on hold now. He just sounds stupid. But I'm going to patch him through in a second. He'll be able to hear me. Right now, he's just hearing the bed music. But, I mean, this guy sounds like a garden variety dummy. But he doesn't have that arrogance. He just has that kind of brain dead quality. So he's kind of an exception, probably in the worst way. So just no more dudes. I'm gonna patch Sam back through. Sam, hey, welcome back to the best show.
I feel like you're adding insult to injury here.
What's going on tonight, buddy? What can I do for you?
I don't know. It's raining. I'm sitting here listening to the best show. Thought I would call in and I don't know, talk about the flooding. I don't know if that's
okay. Well, are you experiencing flooding?
Well, I live in Austin. I'm here in Dallas for the summer for a job that I'm doing.
Hey, hold on. I just got to mention something to Mike again. I'm going to just put you on hold a second, okay? You're just going to hear bed music for a second.
All right.
Perfect. Hey, Mike. Seriously, when you hear a guy like this, this is like Exhibit A for do not let on the air, a guy like this. He's boring, and he has nothing to talk about, and he's trying to now, he's now trying to, like, shield himself in the flooding as a last attempt at which is, to me, gruesome, actually, that he would do that just so he could stay on the air a little longer, because he knows I couldn't yell at him for that. So, just really, when you hear a guy like this, Mike, there's like about 100, this should be like a case study. This is like, this guy is like, should be under glass for what we are studying here in terms of people not to let through, okay? I'm gonna bring him back up again now. Let me just, Sam?
Yeah, this
welcome
is,
back.
Well,
so what's going on with the flooding, buddy?
I don't know. What do you want me to say?
What do I want you to say?
Yeah, I sort of feel like you're kicking me while I'm down.
Wait, how are you exactly down?
Well, I don't know. I'm watching people on the news in my home state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, missing families and people's cars.
Yeah, okay. Well, so we all are.
Down the street.
Look, it's terrible for everybody. I'm not.
These are my brethren.
Okay, and they're my brethren too.
But less so.
You're a creep. Goodbye. Less so. Go help them then. Get down there and help them. Get in your car, drive down, and start volunteering. What a worm. That's worm. That's straight up worm stuff. Oh, that's skin crawling. Cloaked himself in tragedy to stay on the air longer. The phone number, 201-332-3484. Mike's going to clamp down now. No more dummies. Is this good, Mike? Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Sarah in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Sarah in Jersey City, New Jersey. How are you tonight, Sarah?
I'm doing fantastic.
You're doing fantastic? What's going on?
First of all, I have to say, every ex-boyfriend I have in all of the USA right now is freaking out because I'm on the best show. They've all been telling me to call in. They said I have to talk to you, so I'm really excited to be talking to you.
Well, good. Welcome to the show. One of these guys is worse than the next, too, right?
You've talked to at least two or three of them
tonight, probably. Right?
No, not tonight. But Mike and Scranton, mm-hmm. you might remember him. He and I have I lived with him for a little while.
Look, these guys are all the same. Hey, Tom, I just want to... Hey, Tom, this is... That's how every call goes when they're going south.
Well, hopefully it doesn't go the same for us.
No, we're flying high now.
So what I called about tonight was just a bad choice that I made recently.
Okay.
Which is... I chose to book an Airbnb room in Union City, New Jersey.
Oh.
And that's just one of those things that, you know, at the time when I was doing it, I'm not sure. It was like, we're going out to see a show mm-hmm. in New York, and I thought it would be fun to find a cool and interesting place to mm-hmm. stay. And there was this place in Union City, New Jersey that really kind of presented itself as, like, interesting. It had all kinds of interesting art. It was an artist loft, and we showed up, and it was basically just a drug den is what it turned out to be. It was really like, I can't even explain the difference between what happened. So I ended up taking a taxi back at 1 o'clock in the morning because we didn't even feel safe staying there.
Sure, but, sure.
Yeah. I understand that you maybe you know a little bit about
Sarah, can I ask you about, I've never done Airbnb, right?
Yeah.
I think it might have something to do with my dislike of others. Does that probably factor in on some level?
Well, I mean, I think...
God help me if I go into someone's house. Like... First of all, I could not imagine letting somebody, just stay at my place. Did these people not have anything that they don't want walking away? You know what I mean? Like, how can you keep track of everything? Now I'm supposed to realize that some worm boosted two of my Volcano Suns albums? I'm not going to realize that as soon as they leave.
Right, but I think the culture of Airbnb is different in New York because people in New York, you know, because of the rent and all, they have, maybe they have an extra room. You know, Airbnb is a bigger thing in New York, and I just kind of assumed that the outer lying areas in New Jersey would be similar.
I forgot, there's no crime in New York, right? Nobody takes anything that doesn't belong to them in New York. How do you let anyone into your house and be like, and you're just like, oh, wait, that book is gone. Right? How?
Well,
do you just not worry about that stuff?
I've stayed at a very nice bed and breakfast. So bed and breakfast is basically the same thing, except it's a little bit more formalized. Yeah,
but bed and breakfast, what, are you going to steal a doily at a bed and breakfast? Right? There's nothing nice there. You're going to steal you're going to end up stealing like a Dick Francis novel, right? You can steal a horse racing
figurine, right?
Yeah, Hummel. Yeah, I got over. I stayed at that bed and breakfast. I stole an uncomfortable pillow, a doily, a Dick Francis novel, and
a VHS copy of On Golden Pond.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Thank you. Right?
Yeah, but, I mean,
You have good stuff? What if you have good stuff in your house?
Well, I'm assuming you don't take the people and let them stay in the room with all the good stuff.
Yeah, but what, are you supposed to move? You only have your good stuff in one area of the house? I got good stuff everywhere.
You do? Oh, well, a little different. I keep my good stuff close to me, but I think I probably have less good stuff.
Oh, I got good stuff for miles, Sarah. I got good stuff. I got more good stuff than I know what to do with.
Yeah, but you probably don't even let people, like, if they come over your house, you don't let them put the record on. You make them tell
they
you
They can
what
put
kind
the
of
record on. If I let them in, they can put it on.
There's if you not, let them in, that's the
yeah,
rule?
Yeah, I'm just not letting some stranger in.
Yeah, but what if it's one of your wife's friends and you don't know how they're going to treat the record? You would still let them put it on?
Yeah, I would. Because what do you think? My wife's running with a different crew than I am?
I don't know.
You think a motorcycle gang showing up? Sons of Anarchy is showing up? She brings them over?
You don't feel like certain people are less tender with records than other people?
Oh, I know certain people are, but anybody that comes in and wants, anybody who would come into my house who's like, I'm going to touch the record, can touch the record. They're not going to be like, let me put that on and go, vroom.
Do they ask you first, or they're also allowed to just grab them?
If they wanted to grab them, I'd let them grab it, but people have respect with that stuff. I don't know what kind of people you call friends. I got good people in my life.
Yeah, well, my friends, as we've already discussed, are people who call into the show. So.
Yes, that's true. Herb in Syracuse, or whoever you said that guy
Mike
was.
Mike Scranton. He's Mike the guy, he's kind of obsessed with the Beatles.
Oh, he's the one.
Yeah.
Who's his favorite Beatle?
I would say Paul McCartney. Okay. I think it used to be John Lennon, but I think he switched to Paul McCartney.
Yeah, okay.
But maybe he's getting to be a little bit more soft in his old age. He might have even switched to George. I don't know. Yeah. He'll probably freak out when he hears that.
That's all right. Look, let him freak out, right? Let him freak out. That bum, right? The no good bum.
Well, he's getting better.
Eh,
he used
a
to
bum.
Be a lot more no good. Now
yeah.
He's just
yeah. That's why you threw him out, right?
I left, but yeah. Basically, same difference.
Yeah, because he's a no good bum. What else is going on? So, no more Airbnbs in Union City. I agree with
you. No, I just moved to Jersey City, so okay. I know you're probably familiar with the area. You have any good tips about it?
About what? You don't need an Airbnb.
No. I mean, just like places to go, things to do, something nice. Didn't you come here a lot?
Yeah, go to the Brownstone Diner. They have pancakes there.
Oh, great. I love pancakes.
Yeah. This is this diner in Jersey City where they're just like, world's greatest pancakes. And then you have them and you're just like, yeah, these are very good pancakes. But you know what? It's not hard to make very good pancakes. Not hard.
Yeah, and nobody even cares about pancakes anymore because people are all gluten-free.
Exactly.
Pancakes are not what they used to be.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
The pancake market is taking it on the chin, right?
For sure.
If you have stock, if you have like, what is it? What is pancakes on the stock? PNK? What is it? Right?
BSK? Bisquick?
Yeah. Yeah, if I have stock in Bisquick, I'm losing my shirt right now. Right?
Yeah, unless I don't know what they make pancakes. Have you had a pancake made with rice flour?
I think I have.
It must be like completely flat. It's probably almost just a crepe.
Yeah, then I did. Then I didn't. I've had crepes. I've never had a pancake made with rice flour.
I wouldn't know. I eat gluten all the time.
Yeah, you're pro gluten.
Very. I mean, do you think gluten? Have you tried being gluten free?
No, I haven't.
No? You've never been tempted by other people who swear? Because everyone I talked to was like, stop eating gluten. Everything that hurts you will stop hurting. You won't sneeze.
But nothing hurts me, though. Nothing hurts me.
No, you feel great.
I do.
Wow.
You know why I don't feel good is generally because I end up sleeping 2.5 hours a night. I would attribute me not feeling well to that more than I would gluten.
Right. Of course.
But other than that, boom. Nothing can hurt me, right?
Feeling great.
Yeah.
Even with the pancakes.
Feeling groovy. Yeah, maybe I'll go get some pancakes tonight. Maybe me and Michael go get pancakes tonight.
Jersey City. Come to Jersey City.
Maybe we'll come to Jersey City and go on a pancake tour.
Well, is it going to be open that late? I feel like it might be closed.
I don't know. There's some dump. There's got to be some dump serving pancakes.
Well, we'll be here. If you show up, let us know. We're ready for pancakes.
What? Let you know. What are you on the... Jersey City's not a house. It's a pretty big place.
But you're also broadcasting on a radio show. So you could just say, on our way, you know, everybody will
show up. You want to know what, sir? Fair point. Fair point. I like you, Sarah.
Thanks a lot.
You need to call more.
I'll call a lot.
Well, let's not push it. I said more, not a lot.
Well, I don't want you to end up.
I'm not looking for. I'm not looking for another Avalanche Bob.
Oh no! I'm a busy person, so it won't be all the time.
Oh well, excuse me.
We'll talk about that more some other time.
Yes, we will. Thank you for the call, Sarah. You have a great night.
Thanks for talking to me. Good night.
Bye. Best show. You're on the air.
G'day, Tom. How are you?
Oh, good to see Mike held to the no dudes thing. I know this guy. This is pay dirt in Tasmania.
No.
It's not. This is Angus.
No, it's Mr. X from Australia.
Mr. X from Australia. Where in Australia are you, sir?
About 3 hours drive out of Sydney.
Are you at Uluru right now?
Oh, no, that's days away.
What if I set up a tent right smack dab in the middle of Australia? What would happen to me?
How much water did you bring?
I'd get eaten by some animal, right? Like some crazed animal would eat me. That, like some like half kangaroo, half something else would eat me, right?
Something, or maybe, probably more likely, you'd be foraging for something and get bitten by a poisonous snake or spider or scorpion.
Yeah. We need to tank. What about this? The people of Earth launch a $100 billion plan to tame the middle of Australia, right? We're just going to beat it, right?
Yeah.
Which way should we beat the... If we're going to have to beat those creepy animals into the ocean, which direction should we go? Should we beat them all into that opera house you have? What's the opera house?
Just Sydney Opera House.
What if we beat all the creepy animals into the Sydney Opera House, right?
Yeah, that'd be cool. I've only been there once. I wasn't that great.
Yeah. So what's going on, Mr. X?
I had a confession. I don't know whether you're taking them yet.
I am. It's Bowling Alley Confessions, sir. I am going to welcome you to the bowling. Do you have bowling alleys down there? Do you know the game of bowling?
Oh, yes. I've bowled many times, many times.
You don't have that weird candle pin. Like in New England, yeah, they have this thing called candle pin bowling.
Never heard of that one.
Where they bowl with like tiny bowling balls and tiny bowling pins. So weird. It's weird.
Yes, we just have the regular size ones.
Okay. So, Mr. X, you are now in the bowling alley. Bowling Alley Confessions has now begun.
Okay. Years ago, when I was a very young man, I've worked in the pet industry on and off all my life, and I was working in the pet industry then. And an attractive lady, a young lady, came in the shop and said she'd just moved to town and her flat was lifeless and she couldn't have a dog or a cat, but she wanted a pet. So I eventually sold her on a nice big cage and a couple of finches. They're not too noisy and they're a bit of life in the house. And that was fine, and she went away very happy. And I thought, oh, gosh, she was nice, just moved to town. Nice lady. Didn't think anything of it. For about 3 weeks later, I'm out at the pub doing what young men do, drinking and having a bit of a dance.
Yeah, you're out on the tiles, and, right?
Yeah. Yes, not too bad dancer. Not too good either. Anyway, there she is. So I thought, well, I've got an in. I've got a ready-made in. So, hi, how you going? How's the finches going? You know, do you want a beverage of your choice? And anyway, many, many beverages later, we decided to go back to her place for a couple of beverages. Anyway, I caught the last, I missed the last train home, so to speak. So I stayed the night and got up early in the morning to go to work. I think it was a school day the next day, or work day, school day, you know what I mean. So I got up and I was terribly hungover and I thought, look, just before I walk home, it wasn't too far, only a few blocks, I'll just grab a glass of water. So went into the kitchen area and I spotted the cage of finches and I thought, oh God, yeah, I forgot all about the finches. I'll just check them out while I have my water.
Oh.
But my horror was, I looked at the feed dish and there was these two little dead starved finches just with their limp heads just hanging over the
food. Oh.
What she'd done is I'd set her up with, food and, perches and all that sort of thing and the birds, but she was too lazy, having a good time out at the pubs, to ever buy any more seed. So she just let them starve to death.
It's terrible.
I know, it's horrible. It's like we're having one of those things where you're closing, like, dun 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 dun, like a movie horror and shit.
Oh. Did you run?
But the confession is, I got the hell out of there, but the confession is that I did see her one more time after that.
Yeah.
So who's the bigger monster?
You looked past it.
Me. Me.
Your base nature made you look past it. You couldn't help yourself,
but
could
only
you?
Once, it was just once, and I was only 20, I think, at the time.
Oh, look.
So, but I still feel horrible, obviously.
Yeah.
I remembered it all these years.
That's gross. An animal tort. You let the carnal, your carnal instincts overruled. Yeah, an animal torturer.
She was a goth, and I don't know. I had a goth thing happening. I don't. It's all excuses, though, isn't it?
There's no all excuses. She was a goth. How many times have we heard that excuse? From an Australian guy. She was a goth, and I was into that scene at that time.
I was trying.
All right.
Didn't ever really pull off the goth.
Thank you for the
tenancy in order.
Look, I don't judge. I'm not judging you. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Tom.
Good night. We're at the bowling alley now. In the background, you can hear the sounds of the bowling alley. I think AP Mike is over at the snack bar. He's ordering a grilled cheese sandwich and weird crinkle fries with ketchup that's strangely strong. Hunt's, like Hunt's ketchup. It's the only place anybody on earth uses Hunt's ketchup, bowling alley. You putting Hunt's ketchup on those fries, Mike? What else you got there? He's got a grilled cheese sandwich. He's got some crinkle fries. He's holding that in one hand, and he's also holding his... He's eating the fries out of a bowling shoes. Oh, Mike. I tell you, this guy. Just when you think you've seen it all. Now he's eating French crinkle fries out of... He's got Hunt's ketchup in one bowling shoe. He's dipping it into the other one. He's got the fries in one bowling shoe and the Hunt's ketchup in the other. This guy, man, I tell you. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this? Don't say, because don't say. It's Bowling Alley Confessions. You don't say you are or where you're from.
Okay. But I don't really have a confession, but I stopped by to briefly encourage you to continue the Replace Harry campaign. Because you wouldn't be being a scab, because he walked away, right?
He's circling the job. He's circling it still. Until he's out.
Well, if he... Yeah.
I'm not, because that guy creates false leverage.
Right.
Look, this is all I'll say.
How much do those guys get paid an episode? Like $1 million an episode or something?
They get paid six figures an episode. Look, if people hear me do all those voices, give me a job on another cartoon. I'll do a thing on another cartoon. I do Steven Universe. It's one of the joys of my life. I do a voice on this this cartoon Steven Universe. It's magic that they asked me to do that.
The voices you did last week were great, and on the fly like that, it was really impressive.
Yeah, so look, what show's going now? Alan Gregory? Hire me for Alan Gregory. What is that, in season three now? Alan Gregory? Get me on that.
What's the cartoon that you do the voice on? Is that Cartoon Adult Swim? What
Cartoon Network.
Cartoon Network.
Yes.
All right, I'll check it out.
Yeah, Steven Universe. Later, check it out. Yeah, no, I ain't selling out a Harry Shearer. Sure, by all accounts, is he a top shelf load? Yeah. That's what I hear. I hear he's like an unclogged toilet. He's a clogged toilet. Sorry. Or an unclogged. Look, any toilet is bad to be. It's not like, hey, you called me a clogged toilet. I'm an unclogged toilet. It's like, no. Any toilet is not a, that's not a positive comparison. Speaking of clogged toilets, tonight Half Hour Power will be happening. The best show post show. 30 minutes of unscreened rapid fire calls. AP Mike will be in there. Dudio will be there. Pat Byrne will be there. Hey Mike, why don't you take, what do you think about taking the reins for half of the half hour? Now? Maybe? Maybe we'll split it up. Half is me, half is you. We'll see. Best show, you're on the air.
Yeah, Tom. Hi.
Welcome to the Bowling Alley. Bowling Alley Confessions.
Yeah, I wanted to confess about the that old sound of a record being pulled off. Do
yeah.
You know that anymore?
I know that sound.
What is that sound?
Best show, you're on the air. Great call, buddy.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Welcome to the Bowling Alley. Bowling Alley Thanks. Confessions are underway. Keep yourself anonymous.
Yeah, I won't. Don't say my name. Don't worry.
What's your confession?
My friend he signed in on my phone to check his email and forgot to sign out.
Yeah.
And I did scroll through and read some of his subject lines. And I've been feeling pretty bad about it since. And then I signed out, though. I didn't open anything up.
But you saw the subject lines.
Oh, yeah.
And you feel gross, don't you?
Girlfriends. Yeah, I feel super gross. And then after that, I kind of got nervous when I got out of it.
Your friend doesn't know, though, does he?
No, he does not. He doesn't listen to the show, so he won't find out.
Yeah, that's pretty shameful.
What should I do to, like, atone for it?
You should just look, if you don't want to confess it to your friend, you go to your friend, you buy him something nice.
Okay, I think I can do that. I feel better.
And then you just don't do that again. That's creepy.
I know, it's super creepy, but I feel like I need to say it. It makes me feel better.
You need to say it to him that you did it?
No, I need to say it to someone. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
okay.
It's to you in the bowling alley.
So you said it in the bowling alley.
Yeah.
You value this friend.
Yeah, he's like my best friend.
So he would not take it kindly if he found out you did this.
Yeah, and he's like super private and reserved in general.
Yeah.
It's not good.
So be extra nice to him.
Okay, I'm going to think of you when I am.
And don't do that again. That's creepy. It's Snoop. That's Snoop behavior.
I know, it's creep behavior. Yeah. It's like the digital equivalent of binoculars.
Yeah, what do you think you're going to find out?
I don't know. It was there. It's
creep.
Not,
that's yeah, creep stuff, man. What other creeps? I'm telling you, where there's smoke, there's fire. I hear a guy like you say this. There's no way you're not doing some other creep stuff, right?
I got another creep one for you.
I had a guy on last week was a peeper.
Oh,
you ever do that? You ever peep? You ever stare in windows?
No, I've never peeped. I've never done that. I'm trying to get out of my system now. That's why I'm talking about it.
What's your other thing?
Do you know the app Periscope?
I've heard of it. I don't know exactly what it is.
Well, I watched your friend Jake Fogelnest at a Memorial Day party for a good hour on it. But he was voluntary.
Did he know he was on it?
Yeah, that's the point. He's like showing, walking around. I think that's shameful for another reason, just because it shows
Jake.
Time.
Wait, what was Jake? Jake was showing himself walking around a party?
Yeah, is that
come on,
Memorial Day BBQ?
All right.
It's shameful for both of us.
No one wins on that one.
Yeah.
No one wins. Why don't you go? You need to go. Go build a barn or something for charity. You got too much free time.
Yeah, it's true. I'm gonna go do some push-ups or something in self improvement.
And look, what was he saying? Watch me eat a cheeseburger at this barbecue?
No, it was just trying to be famous in Hollywood, showing off his Hollywood friends in the house.
Well, was there anybody good there? Was there anybody good?
Allie Kohler was there. She drums for like a bunch of cool bands. That was cool. But like, whatever. That's just for me.
Well, that this is one that nobody wins. This is one we all lose. It's like Alien versus Predator. Who loses?
Or,
Earth.
Yeah. Oh, I lost. I think that's true.
Goodbye.
I'm going to go do something good with my time.
Best show, you're on the air. Welcome to the bowling alley.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. You're in the bowling alley.
I am in the bowling alley. It's echoey in here.
What are you going over to the pro shop? Are you gonna check things out in the pro shop? Maybe get some of that powder.
Absolutely.
That people use at the bowling alley to improve the grip on the bowling ball. What?
Are you asking me what the powder does?
I'm not sure.
I don't know either. You're the. I mean, do you run the bowling alley if you're doing the bowling alley concessions, or are
I
you
don't.
Just, you're just. You're just here in the bowling alley taking...
I'm just in this bowling alley.
Sessions.
We're just hanging out in the bowling alley. I don't own the bowling alley.
No.
So no, what's your bowling alley confession?
My bowling alley confession is that today I decided that I'm going to quit my job.
Yeah.
And then I just didn't do anything at my job for the rest of the day, and I'm probably not going to do anything at my job, like, until I leave.
And when will you give notice that you're quitting?
I'm not really sure. I haven't decided that part yet.
Is it a good job?
It's a job that I am, it's perfectly fine, but it's not for me. And I feel like someone else would probably do better.
Sure. So it's a job that belongs to somebody else in a karmic sense.
Exactly. And so I feel like I should give it back.
So you're just going to take this place for a ride, though, in the meantime. Right?
I mean, yeah, pretty much.
Have they been bad to you at all, or are you just...
No, they've been great to me. I'm just a terrible person.
You're not a terrible person, but move things along here. It's not good for anybody.
I know. And I'm going to. I will.
The people out there who need jobs, it's ridiculous. And here you are sitting on this job you don't even want.
Yeah, it's true. Look, you said I wasn't a monster just now, but it seems like you're turning around.
No, you're not a monster. You just gotta pull the trigger on this thing. Don't tie it up for that long.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I don't think.
Give your notice. Move on. Get your cake. Get your cardboard box. Get out of there.
That's me. That's what I'm gonna do.
All right.
Right after I bowl, I guess.
You're going to bowl?
A little bit.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. You have a good night.
You too.
Bye. Hey, Mike. Do you listen to audiobooks ever? Not really? I've been listening to a couple lately. Like when I drive, I listen to them. And what it comes down to with some of them are the people they get to read them is ridiculous. Listen to the guy who reads the Leonard Skinner one. This guy's like it's like a fourth-rate George W. Bush. Listen to this guy.
It was jarring, unnerving, even shocking, and portended something awful. Though one could also have seen it as symbolic of the three-guitar Skinner attack that the astute rock critic Grill Marcus had once described as striking fire and drawing blood.
Listen to that. I don't know, but he's taking it way too seriously. It's like, you've heard Leonard Skinner, right? This guy's like, he gets so mad during it.
A guy who seemed to know everyone in his orbit, but wanted to kick all of their asses, was surely going to be an advantage.
Oh, this guy.
Hers getting nowhere was a dead-end street shared by many acts. For Ronnie, the thought of Lacey telling him, "I told you so," was depressing enough, but having to keep working irregularly at menial jobs magnified the indignity.
This guy's like, they didn't have to hire a guy from the South to do that. Like, we could have all hung with the thing without this guy doing this, like, "You gotta realize, Leonard Skinner were, like the critic Greil Marcus said, their three-guitar attack was spitting fire." It's like an evil version of the guy from the Dukes of Hazzard. "What are those Duke boys doing back in the shed?" Like the Dukes of Hazzard crossed with Saw. Weird creep voice. No, I listen to all of it. Yeah, I listen to this guy doing this. Because look, I only hear these great works of art, Mike. Like, here's something from... Listen to the guy who reads this book about the Fillmore East and West. Listen to this guy.
"Tom said more than likely. Chicago said they'll try and get out of something. Then the sensitive question of Marquis Billing had come up. And he was very blasé," said Graham. "That, of course, it'll be S. Yurok, very large, and in very small letters below it would say, in association with Bill Graham."
Oh, this guy... Sounds like he's doing an Imodium AD commercial. He's talking about the Fillmore.
"Are you tired of having diarrhea?"
I'm stuck at the Fillmore East. What happens if you're at the Fillmore East and Bill Graham has diarrhea? And the marquee billing said, oh, that these guys with this voice. And then, you know the comedian Todd Glass? Here's his audiobook. Todd, look, I think Todd Glass is one of the funniest guys going. He is super funny, but he did not read his own book. It's like, what was he? It's somewhere else to be? You know the voice of Todd Glass. You've heard it a million times. And then you go to listen to his life story, and it sounds like this.
That was the last time she ever made dinner for me, or helped me with my studies, and I failed fifth grade, all because I couldn't keep my fucking mouth.
Oh, there we go. Had to happen. Sorry. No, it's actually, unfortunately, it's like the eighth time, but tell you, I get to write a book, man. They let me write a book someday. I'll read that audio book up, down, every which way. I'm going to boot me out. Tell you. What's the guy got? This guy with the movies? Couldn't have time to read his audio book? Spike didn't call, did he? No, of course not. These audiobooks, they're maddening. That Leonard Skinner one, that guy, felt like I was being threatened the whole time listening to it. Best Show, you're on the air, and you're in the bowling alley.
Fabulous, Padre. Bless me, for I have screwed up.
All right. Don't give your name. Don't say where you're from. Keep it clean. What happened? What happened?
I'm not certain if this is a rite of passage or if it's just one of them things that happened or if it was because I provoked someone, but I have been blocked on Twitter.
By who?
Well, it was a band I was following.
A band blocked you on Twitter?
Yes.
Can you say the band?
I can, but I don't know if that would help the story.
What band?
Alphaville?
Hold on. You got blocked by the band Alphaville.
Yeah.
What on earth were you saying to the band Alphaville to where they had to block you?
That's the thing. I don't really know. I mean, I really wish I had something for you. I mean, I really wish.
Did you say something mean about Alphaville?
No. I happen to actually enjoy them. I mean, prior to this, why would I not be hanging out in there if I was not a fan of theirs?
Alphaville. Forever young. I want to be. Forever young, right? Do you really want to live forever?
Not
forever. What is their account? Is it on Twitter? Is it just... They had that song, I'm Big in Japan, right? Didn't they have that song?
Yes, as well. Yes, they did. Actually, this is a Twitter... This is the thing, maybe I know too much, but it is, in fact, a Twitter account that was set up by their record company and was being... See, none of these people do anything for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the record company, which is a rather large corporation that we're all familiar with,
mm-hmm.
Who have ruined a network as well, they were running this thing and... And I was in contact with the gentleman who was running it, he was a very, very nice guy, very knowledgeable, and I know people in the music industry, as does he, and we were friends for a number of months, but he told me he quit night before last, and the gentleman who took his place just blocked me immediately.
Was that like a marking his territory kind of thing?
I'm guessing that might have been, had something to do with it.
Do you know anyone in Alphaville? Do you know the members of Alphaville?
Personally?
Yeah.
No.
But you're a super fan. You're a super fan.
Well, I guess I must be. I don't know. They're never coming back here. Closest they got to this part of the country was Utah in 1999.
Really?
So they're not coming back here.
Unless we get them trending on Twitter.
Well, you know, that's if it would help.
What if we got Alphaville to play like the Newport Jazz Festival, right?
Right.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be swell. I mean, that would be... Yeah, that would be exactly what they need right now, but it ain't going to happen.
What's a good Alphaville song other than Forever Young and Big in Japan? Oh, boy.
4 million.
4 million.
Four a million.
Okay.
That's the name of it. It's wonderful.
All right. I'm going to check it out later.
It's multi-rhythmic, and it's very Baroque and beautiful. And
all right.
It's the stuff is very full of beautiful poetry. And look, I am a fan, and
okay.
Someone has made that very difficult for me for some reason.
Well, look, if the members of Alphaville aren't even on Twitter, then it's not the end of the world. You still have the music.
No,
you still have the music, right?
That's true.
You can still listen to Forever Young. I want to be forever young.
I love you singing to me.
And then they also have that song. The sun only shines on TV, right?
I think you have segued into Norway. I think you are... Yeah. No,
wait, who
is
that?
Aha.
Wait, that was Aha?
Aha.
Aha, the sun only shines on TV.
That's correct.
Which band does Take On Me? Right?
You got them all down there. This one in the
Take
same.
Me on, right? I'll be gone, right? And am I not?
I need to get all the neighborhood dogs going. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. You think that guy ever got bit by a dog singing that song? Right?
Easily.
What if they performed, what if Aha performed a concert at a dog pound? Do you think that would, like, provoke all the dogs when they do Take On Me?
That's right, man. All the Norwegian wolfhounds just...
The Norwegian wolfhounds go crazy when Aha.
Exactly.
Hey, you going to see the new concert film, Aha, live at the Norwegian dog pound? But look, you hate Aha, and you love Alphaville.
I don't hate Aha.
But you're not anti Aha, but you're just more pro Alphaville.
I would say that Alphaville to me is more for adults.
Mm-hmm.
Aha always impressed me as kind of for teens.
Like children's music.
Yeah, like
right?
A haircut band.
Yeah.
Know, real simple stuff for simple.
Simple minds, right?
More adult.
Speaking of Simple Minds, you like that band? You like Simple Minds?
Oh, let's see.
You like that band?
Yeah, I did. I guess I liked some of them. I didn't like Jim Kerr very much. He seemed real pompous.
Remember that one song they had? Boom, don't, don't, don't. Promised you a miracle. Boom, 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 boom. Remember that one?
I do.
That was a good song.
It was. You see, that was like that, some of that early stuff, like 81, 82, 83, 84, the golden, whatever that was, New Gold Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that stuff was good, but then you go from the Breakfast Club forward, and it sounds a little tired.
Sure. What about Spandau Ballet? You like them?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
What's your favorite song by them?
Gold? I guess Chant Number One.
Chant Number One. How's that one go again?
I don't need this pressure on.
That's right. That's kind of like a big dance number. Gets everybody going.
I don't need this pressure on.
Yeah. And what about the song Gold, right? Gold. Ah.
Right.
Always before told. That guy looked like John Hamm, kind of. Remember that guy?
Yeah, you got that John Hamm thing.
He kind of invented the John Hamm look.
The brothers.
The Headley brothers. No, not the Headley. No, what is it again? It's the two brothers. Remember them?
Right. Yeah, all I can think is Doug and Dinsdale.
I bought a ticket to the world, but now I've come back again. Remember him when he came back again?
I remember when he came back again.
Yeah.
He came back with, what was that guy?
What were the brothers' names again?
Daggett. They were in...
They were in that movie where they played the Krays. Remember that?
Oh, the Kemp brothers.
The Kemp
Jeremy
brothers.
And,
yes. Gary Kemp.
Jeremy and Martin.
Yeah. And what about Depeche Mode? You hate them, though, right?
No.
You don't?
No.
What's your favorite Depeche Mode song?
Enjoy the Silence.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. Right? That one? Like Life. Remember that song? Bonk,
no.
Bonk, bonk, bing, bonk.
Master.
Bonk, bonk, that's bonk, bing, bonk. Seven. Yeah.
That's not that older song. Actually, I like the one, Never Let Me Down. The one,
You like the late stuff.
Well, it was a good mix.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. Right? Like Life.
Like Life. You the old Vince Clarke stuff. All the...
How about Frankie Goes to Hollywood? You like them?
They kind of left me cold.
What?
Well, that was some kind of party. I don't know. I was late to that party.
And you never heard? You ever hear their cover of Born to Run?
I think I did.
They did a version of Born to Run. It's great.
Yeah?
It's seriously great. You like the good stuff, mystery caller. I salute you.
Why, thank you.
And how about the Pet Shop Boys? Do you like them?
Actually, yeah. Some of those the collaboration they did with
Dusty Springfield. Right?
Yeah.
How about that one song when he's like, "When I look back upon my life." Remember that? It's always with a sense of shame. I've always been the one to blame. That guy. He was a good dude.
Yeah. Tennant. Yes. That's the guy. The guy who was Doctor Who took his name.
Wait, the guy from Pet Shop Boys was Doctor Who? No.
No.
That'd be awesome. That's what I would do if I was running the Doctor Who franchise. You have both. Suddenly, the next Doctor, it's the Pet Shop Boys. He's like split in
Why
half.
Not?
Has there ever been a Doctor Who split in half? Dudio loves Doctor Who, and I refuse to talk about it with him. And he's always, like, mentioning to me, like, hey, what about the and he always wears a scarf, like the one guy. Remember that one guy wore the scarf, that one doctor?
Baker.
Yeah. Tom Baker.
Right.
Dudio has a scarf like that. And I refuse to talk about
it.
But what if all of a sudden out of the TARDIS came Neil Tennant and Chris Lowe, right? Was that who the Pet Shop Boys were, right?
Exactly, and that would be Major Camp, and it would sell.
That would be the greatest Doctor Who. Then I would be into Doctor Who. If suddenly they came out of the TARDIS, and they were just like, I could leave you if I tried. I could love you, say goodbye. And I could, and left to my own devices, I probably would. That'd be the best Doctor Who ever. I'm pitching that. How do we get that going?
Sold. We're sold.
I might recommend you stay off Twitter.
Right? Got Andy Zax is saying he wants Soft Cell to be the, he wants them. Remember that one creep, the not Mark Almond? Remember the other guy's mustache, Howard Ball?
Oh, yeah.
That guy that with that thin Bud Abbott mustache?
Yeah.
Oh, those guys seem like creeps.
So we're
man.
Listening to, what was it?
They seem like great. That seemed like top shelf preverts, those two dudes in Soft Cell.
Remember that song? Say Hello,
Sex
Wave
Dwarf?
Goodbye.
Remember that song, Sex Dwarf?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's troubling stuff. They had that one album where there's like, I'm going down on the subway. Remember that?
Actually, I don't think I had that
what?
In rotation.
You got to check that out. You like the good stuff, Mystery Caller. I like you.
Thank you, sir.
You have a great night.
I feel unburdened, and I thank you.
Good. Forget this bum who banned you from the Alphaville Twitter. Don't worry about it. You can move on. Onward and upward. Right?
Thank you, sir. You've
you
been
take
a lot
care.
Of help.
Okay, good night.
I will. Bye.
I tell you, we got to figure this thing out to get the two Pet Shop Boys to replace the guy from the current Doctor who everybody says it's a flop, that this guy's the Doctor. He was the guy, Malcolm Tucker. Nobody likes him. It would revive the whole Doctor Who franchise if all of a sudden he's like, I got to turn into and I got to go back in the TARDIS. Right? And he goes back in. And then all of a sudden, Neil Tennant comes out. That'd be the coolest thing ever. He's like, I've got the brains, you've got the looks. Let's make lots of money. And they're fighting, right? I'm telling you, man. We got to make that happen. We got to fix the Doctor Who franchise. A lot of good Doctor Whos we could do. I'm telling you. We'll fix it. We'll fix. Don't worry, England. Tom's on his way. I'll fix the Doctor Who franchise. We'll right the ship. Or if all of Frankie Goes to Hollywood came out as Doctor Who, and we got like a shirt that they all wear, like one of those like five-person shirts, and all their heads are sticking out. Nasher. Holly Johnson. Paul Rutherford. No, Paul Rutherford. Yeah. Which was the guy from the... Ooh, yeah! Ooh, yeah! That guy. We'll get them in. Yeah, Marky Smith would be a good Doctor Who. Maybe that's a topic we should do some week. Replace who should be the next Doctor Who. Who should be the final Doctor Who? Who, like, would end the franchise? Matt Berry would be a good Doctor Who. Well, I do like him just coming out as Doctor Who would be pretty amazing. Right, Mike? Mike doesn't know what he's talking. Mike goes, yeah. Yeah. We'll fix it. We'll fix it. We're coming for you, England. The best show will fix Doctor Who. In the meantime, let's go back to the bowling alley. Best show, you're on the air. Welcome to the bowling alley.
Good. I brought my soft pretzel and liquid cheese.
Good move. Good move. Do you think Ringo Starr would be a good Doctor Who? I don't think so.
No. I think there's one Doctor who kind of looks like Rowan Atkinson, and I think it would have been better if it was just Rowan Atkinson.
I like that one pervert Doctor who like everyone hates. There's this one Doctor who wore like rainbow clothes, and he's everyone's least favorite Doctor Who. He's like the Jimmy Savile Doctor Who. And, he's my favorite. Is he the sixth Doctor? Studio? He's number six. Ringo Starr as Doctor Who. An important message. I will no longer be fighting Daleks as of October 20th. Do not send any more Daleks. Two, I will not fight them. Peace and love.
Peace and love, peace and love.
Yeah, peace and love, peace and love. I will not be fighting any more Daleks or... What are some other Doctor Who monsters? Swamp monster, right? What is swamp monsters?
Robot men.
What are the ones? I will not be fighting any more mannequins that come to life. Because this Doctor Who, look, I know more about this than I let on. First Doctor, by all rights, Doctor Who should have gone under with that first Doctor. It's like a 70-year-old grouch as the first. That should have been just canceled right away. This guy's terrible. Right?
Then yeah, they go get like this hanging out with his granddaughter.
Yeah, then they go get this guy who looks like he's got like he looks like if John Hamm was melting. He's like the second Doctor Who. Then they go get this weird guy who's like a silver-haired James Bond. He's driving like a sports car all over the place because Doctor Who got locked on a military base. And there was like some guy, I cannot give you the keys to the TARDIS. Then they go get Scarfs, whatever his name is. What's his name? Tom Baker. He shows up. Then they get the guy from some clean cut. He looks like a Richard Chamberlain type. Then they get the pervert Doctor Who, the one in the rainbow suspenders. Right? Am I tracking this right? Dudio? They got like a Richard Chamberlain type dude. And then they got the pervert. Then I think, then they tried to get, wasn't there like a, who was next? What if Ricky Gervais was Doctor Who? How about Ricky Gervais as Doctor Who? Would that end the franchise?
Well, it's talk a lot more about God. I don't know.
Yeah. I took the TARDIS into the thing. There's no God. Okay, Doctor Who. Thank you. He figures out it's all fairy tale. Doctor Who's bumming everybody out. Somebody in the chat said Andrew Dice Clay is Doctor Who. That'd be pretty amazing. Right?
Would his wife be his companion?
Just picture the TARDIS. Yeah, that'd be great. Picture this. The Pet Shop Boys were Doctor Who. They go back on the thing, back in the TARDIS, and then he regenerates. Isn't there only, like, one regeneration left for this guy, too? How are they going to keep that going? Huh. I guess they're boxed in. There's no way of cheating the rules on that. Yeah, no franchise has ever just rewritten everything to make it happen again. And all of a sudden... out of the mist, the TARDIS doors fly open. Who's the next Doctor Who? And all of a sudden, you see this leather jacket, and it says Dice on the back. And he comes out, and he goes. He's like, look, this trip in the TARDIS could take 10 minutes, or it could take an hour. Back! Get it? And then his assistant would be like the wife. She'd be like, I thought we could go fight the Cybermen. What can I do for you, caller? Don't say your name.
All right.
In the bowling alley.
I'm in the alley. So I have a confession. It's not really my confession to make, but it was one of the more strange things I've ever witnessed in a college class.
Yes.
So last week I was in, it's a class about rites of passage, and I go to a pretty bougie college, so basically every class is mostly rich, white kids, and this one has a lot of people from sort of New York, like rich New York-y people, so that's just all you need to know. We were talking about gang initiation, and one of these girls raises her hand, girl from, I think, like Upper West Side. And she says, super casually, I had this friend in high school who joined an all-girl gang, and there was a person who wronged the gang, so for her to be initiated in the gang,
you had to cut off that person's foot. End of story.
No. And everybody just has to stand there and or sit there and just listen to that and act like that happened? Somebody sawed somebody's foot off to be in the gang?
But also, this girl did not seem original enough to come up with the idea that someone was sawing off someone else's foot. That's not where your head goes to.
No, that's just troubling. That's like, do you really have to speak out in class? You had to talk about... You really need that much attention that you have to say something about a gang initiation required somebody's foot getting sawed off?
Yeah, like, that takes so much time, too.
Quit
school.
Quit school. Why are you in school? Quit school. Get out. Quit school. It's time. What are you getting from it? This is what you're getting from it? You're paying for that. That's costing you money to hear that story.
I mean, it's maybe the best story I've ever heard in a class.
Well, look, I'm not saying it's not a great story, but it also should not cost you anything either. In your time and money. That's time. That's time you could be spending. You could be behind a counter making money.
That's money I'll make back when I pitch my movie about this to Quentin Tarantino.
Well, good luck with that one. Yeah, when Quentin Tarantino decides to make his college movie,
No, not his college movie, his girl gang foot cutting movie.
Oh, so you're going to just take it out of the... You know what? Fair enough. If you can get him, you actually probably have a pretty good shot at that. You have Quentin Tarantino and foot in the thing.
Yeah, that's all you need.
You're doing all right. I got to say, you might be playing this correctly. Well, congratulations on hitting the lottery, apparently. And let me know when this movie comes out.
You'll hear about it.
Yeah. All right. I'll keep my eyes peeled. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Bye. Look at some of these Doctor Who's. We got to do this. Is a whole show, right? What do you think about that, Mike? Mike's against it. Mike hates anything fantastic. You got to watch some of these Doctor Who's, Mike. I've tried so many times. I get these Doctor Who DVDs I bought, and I watch it, and it's just like, holy moly, this is some of the worst stuff I've ever seen. I'm telling you, you'll watch some of this stuff, and you'll feel like transported back to being a kid in New Jersey, trapped on a Saturday. It feels like it's Saturday at 6 p.m., and you got no life, and the only thing on PBS is Doctor Who. NBC. No, that was Uncle Floyd. Uncle Floyd would be a good Doctor Who. That would be the ultimate final Doctor Who. Uncle Floyd. Comes out of the TARDIS. With Oogie. Looney Skip Rooney. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Are we still in the bowling alley?
We are.
Okay. So
somebody said Mr. Belvedere is Doctor Who. That'd be pretty good, right? Wesley. He was always mad at Wesley. Remember that, Mr. Belvedere? What did Wesley do to this guy to get him so irked? He was always like, Wesley.
I think he was a scamp.
Well, that look, Wesley was one.
I don't. I don't know from the. I don't know. That's out of my.
You ever watch Alf? You ever watch Alf?
Little bit.
That guy, who owned the dad on Alf, he hated
the
Alf.
Guy who owned Alf?
Yeah, he didn't own Alf. Alf lived at his house. Nobody owns Alf. Okay. He hated Alf so much. That guy.
He did. Yeah.
Alf got Alf irked him so much. He would be like, Alf, I told you not to touch my sandwich. Alf would be like, hey, I was in the kitchen making a sandwich. And then he'd be like, Alf, I told you to stay out of the kitchen. Like,
Willie.
He'd be like, hey, Willie, I'm making pizza. Alf, why did you touch the stove? Oh, that guy hated Alf so much.
Think
he'd be under the spell of Alf. And naturally, somebody puts a video up, I mean, a picture of him of smoking crack on the Friends of Tom chat. Alf drove him to crack.
He did.
That's terrible.
He ruined his life.
Man, Alf. Alf ruined that guy. Why did he just ask Al to leave? Right? He should have just said, Alf, get out of my house. It's my... First of all, why is this guy not just, like, blown away by an alien? Took a guy, like, 2 minutes to get twisted. He's got an alien running through the house, and he's just mad at him because he was playing with the pizza cutter.
Yeah. It's Dennis the Menace.
Yeah.
It's not a...
Willie! I put the vacuum in the fish tank. Alf, I told you not to touch the vacuum. People are now quoting your thing. Nobody owns Alf. Congratulations. You now have created a breakout catchphrase.
Nobody owns Alf.
You said it. You're saying that you're singing mockingly now, as if you're putting someone else down.
You said it. I said he did own Alf. You said nobody owns Alf.
Well, that's true. I did say that.
I can't take the credit for it.
Fair enough. Well, what can I do for you, young man?
Well, I had one confession. I actually went the other night to the Hollywood Bowl to see one Neil Diamond, and I'm sort of...
Oh, Neil Diamond at the Hollywood Bowl. You know what went down at the Greek Theater, which is in Los Angeles, right?
I could not believe
how... He didn't do it, did he?
No. He didn't, but his tour shirt, one of the tour shirts, was a three-quarter sleeve, you know, black sleeve baseball jersey with a sort of almost triangular sort of graphic on the front, almost Van Halen-esque, but it was his epic portrait from the cover of Hot August Night, where it looked like maybe he's playing air saxophone, or maybe he's just really into himself or something.
Yeah, it looks like we're keeping it clean in the spirit of the show.
Yes, exactly.
It looks like something was airbrushed out. Is what it looks like. The cover of Hot August Night.
And he did a number of songs from that album. It wasn't like the Monkees doing stuff that they really wanted to play.
Did he do Crunchy Granola Sweet?
He didn't, and he didn't do Porcupine Pie.
Yeah, that's the one I would want to hear.
We were way, 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 way in the back. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't think I would even be able to shout Porcupine Pie loud enough. So,
but it's not like they're going to suddenly play it either. It's not like he breaks into audience requests.
Yeah, no, it was actually fine. It was actually, I loved a lot of the songs. He's not quite... You know, he doesn't quite have the voice anymore, but most of the time he sounded pretty strong, and he was wearing this outfit that was like...
Sequins?
Classic, oh, yeah. This classic old guy, I think long-sleeve boxer shirt, long-sleeve bowling shirt with black side panels, of course, to sort of disguise the side panels there. And then, like... sparkly kind of Western trim on it, and then very tight jeans. And the thing was, either classic old guy, weird rock clothing, or Elaine Stritch could wear that same thing, right? I mean, it was just like, it was weird. It was a little weird. But he, you know, he played for like 2 hours, and it was a good time.
Did he do all, like, was it all hits? Was it like nonstop hits?
It was almost all hits. He did some stuff. He did like Brooklyn Roads and with a montage of like family home movies on the back. And he played, he actually played a song from a newish album that actually wasn't bad at all. And he didn't play Song Sung Blue. That's about the only big song that I can think of that he didn't play.
Did he do America?
Yeah, he closed. He closes with America, but then he really closes with "Turn On Your Heart Light."
What?
You know, he's kind of sappy that way, I guess.
He closes with "Turn On Your Heart Light."
Yeah, it was. So you know, I just wanted to sort of get it off my chest that I went to this thing and I did not have an ironic good time.
Sure, no, you should have a good time. This guy wrote great songs. He's a great performer. Did he do I Am, I Said?
Oh, sure. He's a little quavery on some of it, but like he's got a lot of emotion there, and you know, it's great.
Did everyone cheer when he was like, LA's fine, the sun shines most of the time?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but then did he go? Right, what's it? It's like, yeah. So that was a great song. He's got a million of them.
Yeah, he's got a million great songs, and so it was an enjoyable evening. And my lady friend had gone to see Lana Del Rey the week before, and she said he was so much more energetic than she was.
What?
She was dead boring and. And she did basically the same thing he did, but with more. He did it with more sort of panache.
Well, I like both of them. I like Lana Del Rey just fine.
She said she was absolutely gorgeous, and she said that she couldn't stop staring at her. But she said she probably doesn't quite have what it takes to command a space like the Hollywood Bowl.
I still feel like Lana Del Rey should be backed up by the Black Lips. I've said that. And I still hold firmly to that the best thing that could happen to Lana Del Rey is if she did an album with the Black Lips backing her up.
That'd be very interesting. I would listen to that. I would give it an honest listen.
It's you, it's only you now. Tell me that you're bold, right? Now I'm going to listen to that in the car tonight.
Nice. So I had one more thing that I wanted to mention, a little information about. You were talking about Banquet Beer last week.
Yes.
Coors, the Banquet Beer.
Yep.
Well, that was their whole, like, you know, campaign up through Smokey and the Bandit times. You know, it was Coors, the Banquet Beer.
Yeah. What banquet?
You couldn't. Really? Oh, you know, like... Yeah, the last picnic. I don't know what it was
called. Like what banquet? Like what is it? You just got out of jail? That bank? A banquet for that?
Yeah, well, you know, and
you're going to prison tomorrow. We're having a banquet for you.
Well, you know, they got them dubbed that two holes in the top, the way they open the can, so the kids don't hardly never cut themselves on the pop tops because it doesn't. You know, there's that, and then. Well, the thing was that, you know, it wasn't west of the Rockies. And then I was working in the like mid 80s at a club building some sets or whatever. And I was talking to the bartender and he had told me that a year or so before there was a guy came through who was like a Coors, you know, like a sales guy and was trying to get it into more places. And because they were expanding, that was when they expanded. East of the Rockies.
Just hold this for 1 second, mystery caller, at the bowling alley. Some guy in the chat, Joey 5 Cents, just said, "How did I not take free shots at the worst live vocalist of all time? Who, Lana Del Rey? What, because she missed the target on Saturday Night Live once? It's like, I got to listen to that goon Brian Williams is the one that guy Brian Williams actually was like, made fun of her singing on that. It's like, remember that? Brian Williams actually like tweeted
Brian Williams, the funniest anchorman in the
the 8 million funniest American, but the funniest anchorman. These guys,
boy.
These anchormen. Who was that, that guy? What up?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Oh, sorry to interrupt you. So you're working. You're building sets.
Right. So the Coors, this guy who's trying to get Coors into these different bars, says that when they were trying to expand, one of the things that they did was they went to the place that was the source of their water east of the Rockies and tried to get the town to change the name of the spring to Rocky Mountain Spring.
So they could always call it...
say, made with Rocky Mountain Spring.
That's disgusting.
Hey, it's Coors.
Look, Mike loves Coors Light. Mike doesn't like Doctor Who or the things Mike doesn't like, but he likes Coors Light.
Yeah.
That's the Doctor Who of beers.
It doesn't change often enough to be the Doctor Who of beers.
Well, look, I'm going to let Mike like what Mike likes.
Yes, that's fine. So, do you have Waze? You know that app for the smartphones? Waze?
Wave?
No, Waze. W-A-Z-E.
I don't. What does that do?
So it's another traffic app, but it's crowdsourced so that people can update. You know, there's stuff in the road. There's police here. There's a red light camera. You know, the whatever. And so it's constantly being maintained by, like, all of these people who have the app who are saying, oh, don't go this way, don't go that way, whatever. But they just offered a thing for the playoffs, which is you could choose the voice of navigation. And you know who they chose? One of the, like, two people for the L.A. area they chose?
For the playoffs. Let me think about this. So is Blake Griffin one of them?
Nope.
No. Probably some low rent. Who is it? J.J. Redick?
I'm not a huge basketball fan. I know his name. I know that he's, I don't know if he's a Hall of Fame player, but he's a known guy, a big guy.
Bill Walton.
Who would you pick to do English directions for Los Angeles?
Vlade Divac.
You got it.
Okay.
You choose Vlade Divac, so he says, in 1.5 miles, turn right, then turn right. And I think he did six statements in 1.5 miles, in quarter miles, in 200 feet.
And who else does it? If he did one, who's the other one?
I can't check my phone. Well, maybe I can. There was somebody else, and one of the things the only other things he says is, like, at the beginning he'll say, let's have a safe ride to the playoffs. It's a long way from Serbia. Let's go. So that was his. And
I gotta find
somebody
out.
Else. If you download Waze, I'm pretty sure it's still available as a thing, but Waze. It was Vlade Divac and somebody else who was like, really? That's your choice.
Look, I like Vlade Divac just fine. I thought he was great in the movie Eddie.
Oh,
he's
you can get Vlade Divac or Leandro Barbosa.
He's good.
Okay.
He's still playing now.
That's
he's not playing now. Is he playing? No, he's on the Warriors. He is playing now.
Yeah.
I might get this.
Yeah, W-A-Z-E. It's a good app to use. Anyway.
Thank you, mystery caller. I appreciate it. And you may now leave the bowling alley.
Oh, thank you.
It's you, it's only you. Tell me how you do. Tell me do. Right? Video games. She's like the Lee Hazelwood of our time. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Carolyn in Brooklyn, and I have a bowling alley confession.
Okay, let's hear it. You were supposed to not say who you are, but we're going to let that slide.
Oh, I didn't know it was an anonymous confession.
Welcome to the bowling alley, mystery person.
Mine's about a bowling alley. I went there with a gaggle of friends when I was in grammar school, and long story short, we had a ball, and we kind of dined and dashed. We left our shoes there.
Oh, no. Oh.
We were young and foolish.
Not cool. Is that bowling alley still in business?
Yes.
Well, that's shocking. I'm surprised you guys didn't break at the bankrupt them.
We didn't, and they also survived an insurance fire.
So do you need help figuring out what to do, or are you just going to move on like nothing happened?
I've already moved on. This was years ago.
Why don't you send them $20? Stick $20 in an envelope and mail it to them. I stand in with a note that says, I stole this from you. I am repaying my debt.
That's excellent. I think that's a fabulous idea.
Yeah, that's all it is. You have to go to the end of the globe here to fix this one. $20.
Cool.
All right. You have a great night.
You too.
Bye. These are the final calls, and everybody should know a few things going forward. How do you help the Best Show? So many people want to know. Well, let me tell you. Download the episodes. Give them good reviews on iTunes. Tell people the show is back. It really helps when you download the episodes and supporting the sponsors to the show. We've had great sponsors over the last month. Merge Records. We've had Squarespace. Kensington Publishing is supporting the show tonight. And Squarespace tonight. Support them. Use those offer codes. And that is how you help the Best Show with that. And then there's also merchandise over at StereoLaughs.com. The posters are shipping this week. Thank you to everybody who pre-ordered the posters from the Sharpling and Worcester live shows that took place in March. We're selling the remaining posters. And you know, there might be some live shows in the future. Who knows? We'll see. The box set is out. Numero Group, the amazing Sharpling and Worcester box set. 16 CDs, hardcover book, 100-page hardcover book. Just amazing. Wanted to let you also know, this Saturday night, you know Pat Byrne, the young man who works on the show every week. He has a show on WFMU called Prove It All Night, and they do a live show. And this Saturday, Prove It All Night will be live at the WFMU at WFMU over on Montgomery Street. The show is going to be at 9 p.m. It's $5 to get in. Matt Koff from The Daily Show, Michelle Wolf from Late Night with Seth Meyers. They're both very funny. Music from the Hamiltons and surprise guests. That's this Saturday, May 30th, 9 p.m., $5 at WFMU, 43 Montgomery Street in Jersey City. Pat Byrne, live, Prove It All Night. It's really a great show. It's a full-on variety show. Gets better every time. So do not, if you can see one live, go out and check it out. It's always a great night. And we will be doing the half-hour power, so please call. We're going to take these final two calls, and then it will be time for the half-hour power. 30 minutes of unscreened rapid-fire phone calls. We'll have AP Mike in here, Dudio, Pat Byrne. It'll be fun. Let's take these last calls. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I have a confession.
What do you have?
So a few months ago, I was dating someone, and I decided that it wasn't working out, and so maybe we should break up.
Yeah.
And so...
What'd you do?
Well, I...
You texted her?
No, I actually invited her to a restaurant because we were supposed to hang out anyway, and so I thought we could at least have a decent conversation.
Yeah.
Which was fine at first, and then we started to talk about, you know, that it wasn't really working out, at least for me. And halfway through our conversation, I realized that the song Sex Dwarf by Soft Cell was playing in the background.
You're making this up.
No. I as soon as I heard you, it's actually, she was the one who told me, she was like, you should call Tom and tell him that we broke up to Soft Cell and to Sex Dwarf.
Now, this spot in the show is usually, it's turning out more and more to be inhabited by the creeps. Last week, it was a peeper called in at this point and could not stop talking about his compulsion to stare in windows. Straight talk right now, my friend. You're anonymous. Nobody knows. What's the scoop here? How do you get your jollies? You do not sound balanced. I'm sure there's something weird going on in your story. Keep it clean for the air, but be honest. Overturn that rock. What's crawling underneath the rock?
I mean, I don't know if there's anything related to this relationship, but...
What are you, a flasher? You sound like a flasher.
No, I'm not a flasher, but I'm more of a snoop. If somebody asks me to house sit for them, I'll totally go through their stuff.
Yeah, go through the drawers, go through the medicine cabinet, right?
Yeah.
Maybe take a pill here and there, right? Ooh, these look good.
I really like to dig through and then rearrange things to make sure that they would never know that I actually went through it.
Because you're a pill popper, right? You take those pills, I'd let you off the hook for everything, right? What are you doing, Oxy?
I once accidentally took Percocet when I thought it was actually just like Advil or something.
Mm-hmm. So you start going through. This is what you do. You're gonna watch. Oh, I'll watch your house. Don't worry, I'll watch your house. They leave. The car's not even warm yet, and you're already jamming half their medicine cabinet down your gullet. Right?
I haven't had that happen yet, but it sounds like fun.
Oh, I don't know. You're giving me the heebie-jeebies. Good night, sir. Best show, you're on the air.
I have a confession.
What do we got? Let's hear it.
Well, when I was a teenager, I was addicted to
love.
What I would call like cute vandalism.
Cute vandalism.
Yeah,
this I got to hear.
I thought I was being cute. Well,
cute,
like,
what did you ones? Improve things? You wrote Wes Anderson quotes on things? What did you do?
The pranks that we would play didn't really hurt anybody, but they were just they were like head scratchers, you know? So, like, one of the things that we did is there was a Montgomery Wards in our town. It's a rural area, Humboldt County, California. There was a Montgomery Wards, which is a department store, and it closed down. And when it closed down, they moved all of the mattresses. They had, you know, like almost, maybe not 100 mattresses, in this fenced area behind the store. And so what me and my friends did, I had a minivan at the time. We called it the granny van. And we systematically, we mapped out where every hotel in town that had a pool that, you know, was just an open air pool. And we would go around, we would go get a mattress, and then we would drive it to that pool, and we would drop it in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would go get another mattress, we would take it to the next hotel, and we would drop it in the pool.
Well, please tell me when the cute part of this vandalism starts, because this sounds horribly destructive and creepy. Where's the cute part? Where's the cute part?
It's not helpful.
Yeah, imagine you're the guy who has to now fish a 400-pound waterlogged mattress out of a pool.
Well, you don't think,
or you lose your job.
You don't think one of those guys was like, these kids.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, imagine the guy who threw his back out now when he's got to somehow try to figure out a way to get a mattress out of the bottom of a hotel pool.
Well, now you're making me completely reassess my life.
Cute. What part of this is cute?
What is going on?
This is worse than most.
You know.
Just because you drew a map up? Yeah, you know who else drew a map up? Leopold and Loeb drew a map up. Well, I don't know if they did, but they probably did. Was their thing cute?
I don't know. Did you ever do anything when you were a teen?
No, not like that.
No?
Throw mattresses into pools, hotel pools.
I mean, there were nice pools.
What's that?
The pools weren't, it's not like they were, like, nice. You know, it was like the Motel 6.
Oh, okay. Oh, then it is cute. You're right. It's cute when the guy who has to do maintenance at the Motel 6 now has to figure out, how do I get this mattress out of the pool that now weighs 400 pounds at the bottom of the pool?
Yeah, I don't actually know how they did it.
Yeah, you don't. Cute.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah. This is the worst. This is the worst confession I've ever heard on the show, because you don't even know it's bad. This was cute. You used the word cute.
Well, no one got hurt.
Yeah, except for the guy who threw his back out trying to get the mattress out.
You lift with your knees.
Or the person who got fired because they couldn't get a mattress out.
Yeah.
Yeah, cute.
Well,
yeah, no one got hurt. This, you need to make a, this is restitution on this one. You got to do some serious karmic reparation on this, because you did bad stuff, my friend.
Well, give me my punishment. Like, how do I make this right?
Are you anywhere near where you did these things?
I still live in roughly the same area.
Okay, yeah. Well, you should probably go to each one and apologize. Face, how long ago were these done?
Probably 15 years ago.
15 years ago. You should probably have to walk through the entire town wearing a sandwich board saying what you did.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only reparation I can think of to even the score, so you can just be seen by the people as the creep you were back then.
Hmm.
You threw mattresses into pools. That's terrible. And you didn't think that was bad at all. You didn't think there was anything bad about that. You thought it was cute.
No, I
some
I
germy think... mattress now. Now the pool is disgusting because it's got some germy mattress that was getting thrown out.
Yeah.
Cute.
Well, this is taking a turn.
No, it didn't. It took a turn toward justice. You were going through your life in this cloud of thinking it was cute.
I've been accused of that.
Yeah, well. You should go in the middle of your town and beat yourself with a whip. You should whip yourself.
A wet mattress.
Thank you. You should strap a wet mattress to your back and have to walk from one end of town to the other while people throw stuff at you. That's the only thing I can. That would only begin to turn the tide on this. While the owners of all the establishments throw stuff at you.
Let the punishment fit the crime. Yeah,
You won't, though. I know you won't. You won't do anything about it. You'll probably figure out a new way to do it. You'll probably be figuring out the next Montgomery Ward you can get mattresses from.
I mean, Tom, when you were 17,
yeah,
did you do anything that was not...
Nope. Not like, nothing like that. Nothing even in the same stratosphere as that. That's so demented what you and your friends did. The amount of destruction you caused.
Well, it was a confession.
You didn't think it was bad, though, did you?
Not at the time. I certainly...
Do you now, though? Have you ever thought until now that it was bad? Have you ever thought about how bad it was until now?
I certainly wouldn't do it now.
Well, I would hope you wouldn't do it now. Is this the first time you've ever said, that it's ever crossed your mind now, wow, that was bad what I did? I never realized how bad it was.
Well, I think that just the mere fact that I would not do it now shows that, I mean, I have matured somewhat, You know, it's not. It's I certainly wouldn't do it now for a myriad of reasons.
But you called it cute.
Well, I think that if I heard that a 17-year-old,
tell me what part was cute about that. Just please. I'm removing all judgment from this. Okay. Convince me that that was cute.
Just because we thought we were so clever,
uh-huh.
When in fact, I will, you know, it's a stupid thing to do. But you've never heard of that before. You're like, oh, okay, that's kids.
Kids what? Ruining businesses?
You know, kids do that sometimes.
Yeah, kids do that. Kids go to jail when they do stuff like that. You should have been in Wormwood Scrubs. You should have been in jail. You should have been arrested and convicted for that.
17?
Yeah. What?
You wouldn't
how many,
give me like
how many pools did you how many pools did you throw mattresses in?
I would guess 8 pools.
8. Oh.
I don't remember, but that's if I had to guess, you know.
You still
long,
love it.
How
you,
long that night
you're,
was.
Somebody in the chat just said you're still proud of yourself with this. You still are. I can hear it in your voice. You're still proud you did this.
I called up a national radio show.
No, first of all, it's an international radio show. How dare you say it's national? It's worldwide, my friend. You heard the call from Australia earlier?
Mm-hmm.
We're world. Right now, the world knows that you're a pile of human garbage. Right now, the world knows that.
Well, that is my punishment.
No, that is not nearly your punishment. That is just an acknowledgement of your behavior. That is just you did bad, my friend, bad. Because you called it cute. You called it cute. I can't wrap my head around that. You're demented.
No.
What would you suggest you could do to fix this? Karmically, if you needed to write this wrong, what would you do?
I don't know, take in a foster child and raise him upright.
No, so that's sarcastic. You wouldn't do that.
No, it's not. No, it is not. It is absolutely not.
What are you going to take in a foster child and raise him upright? What, teach him how to draw, figure out where all the motel pools are? That you're going to do the two? What do you do next? Start blowing up ice machines at Motel Sixes?
We did not do that, no.
Well, you can teach your kid. Maybe your kid can burst out of the ice machine, right? Maybe the two, you can put human heads in ice machines.
That sounds grosser.
Cool. Look, you, my friend, are a demented mutant, and you have deep-seated problems, and I hope that you get, someday you see this and you'll just beg. You'll beg for forgiveness.
I'm open to your suggestions on how that can be accomplished. I'm not
okay.
Like,
here, how much money do you make a year? Nobody knows who you are. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows who you are. You can just throw out a number. How much do you make a year?
Over 30.
Over 30. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would donate $10,000 in cash to a charity within your community.
$10,000.
Or no, $8,000. It's $1,000 for each pool you'd throw a mattress in.
Okay.
Not that you have to do it all at once.
Okay. So I just have a debt and I have to pay it off.
Yeah, exactly. $1,000 for each mattress you threw into a pool. And you have to write a letter to your local paper and say what you did. And this is why you're doing the donating.
Okay. Well, if that does actually come to pass, I will send you.
See, you're already off the hook. You let yourself off. Yeah, yeah. Mattress man on the loose again. You did it again, mattress man. You're on the loose. The Kaiser Sose of Serta Perfect Sleepers.
No.
What's your favorite? The President's Day. Is that when you get your jollies? President's Day. The mattresses are a little cheaper.
A little cheaper. Yeah.
Right. That's when you're back out. Mattress Man's on the loose. Everybody's throwing out their, they got their new mattresses. You go looking for the old ones out by the curb, right?
And all the pools are freshly rechlorinated.
Yeah. Then it's mattress. Mattress Man's back in business. This is what you should do. You should strap yourself to one of those mattresses and throw yourself in a pool.
Oh.
See how you like it. Oh, that's too far?
Well, I don't know. Would you do that?
No. Well, I didn't throw eight mattresses into pools.
Okay. I mean, it seems like a steep punishment.
Oh, I told you. I already told you. The $8,000. $1,000 for each pool.
All right. Oof.
Oof. Oof.
Yeah.
Shame. Shame. You wear that shame on your head.
You wanted a good confession, right? I didn't want to come
This was a good one.
I didn't want to come in with something weak, you know?
No, you don't worry. This was not weak. You're like the BTK killer of mattresses.
Huh.
Yeah. Well. Mattress Manson, I'm going to call you. You and your buddies, it's like the mattress, you're like the Manson family, right?
Of mattresses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Best show, you're on the air. Final call.
Oh, hey, I was told I was going to be on hold for the half hour.
Okay, then I'm putting you back on hold. Thanks, buddy.
Sounds good.
Okay. It's back on hold. Is he on hold? All right.
No.
Just call back, okay? Call back.
Okay.
All right, let's end the show. Guys, that mattress guy, I was wrapping the show up, then I just yelled at him for 15 minutes straight. Was that too much, Mike? You enjoyed it? The lack of compassion was stunning. All right. Let's end the show. I will say, I hope the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of me hopes they keep winning because Kevin Love is not playing for the team. I would love to see them win it all without Kevin Love on the floor. That'd be super satisfying. We are now ending the best show. Best show will be back next week. Got some really good guests coming up in the next few weeks, so get ready for that. Let's play a record on the way out. The Dentists were a really great band from England, and we are going to hear a single. We've played it before. We're going to play it again because I love it so much. It's a single that came out on the reissued on by Trouble in Mind Records, and it's Strawberries Are Growing in My Garden. Let's take a listen to The Dentists, and the best show will be back next week, and the Half Hour Power is coming up next. It will go up online on Friday. So download it then. Listen to this now, and we will talk live next Tuesday. Good night.